Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, August 12th. Kathy Romano is out. I will be handling the news duties. Good morning to you. Joe Biden named California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate on Tuesday, making history by selecting the first black woman to compete on a major party's presidential ticket and acknowledged the vital role black voters will play in his bid to defeat Donald Trump. In choosing Harris, Biden is embracing a former rival from the Democratic Party who is familiar with the unique rigor of a national campaign. The 55-year-old first-term senator, who is also of South Asian descent, is one of the party's most prominent figures. She quickly became a top contender for the number two spot after her own White House campaign ended. And she will appear with Biden for the first time as his running mate at an event today near his home in Wilmington, Delaware. We don't have the time or place of that as of yet.
I think it's the Outback Steakhouse.
Preston. Yeah. Listen, everybody loves it.
Everyone goes there. You know, that's where Michael Douglas goes for his birthday. Yeah.
It's you're like family. No, wait, is that Applebee's?
You're like an Australian family.
You're like an Australian family.
No,
your family here.
Is that Olive Garden?
It's a whole new neighborhood.
Yeah,
that's Applebee's.
Be true to your school.
Yeah, that too. So, in announcing the pick, Biden called Harris a fearless fighter for the little guy, one of the country's finest public servants. She said that Biden would. She said,
Biden would order a bloomin' onion.
No, this is her comment. She said that
yeah, she'll have a wallaby darned and a bloomin' onion. Remember the wallaby darned?
No, what's a wallaby darned?
Oh, it's like a special drink that they have. It's like peach and rum and,
Wallaby darned.
Yeah.
Darned and a bloomin' onion for the lady, please.
So she said that Biden would unify the American people and build an America that lives up to our ideals. Donald Trump told reporters Tuesday that he was, quote, a little surprised that Biden picked Harris, pointing to their debate stage disputes during the primary. Trump, who had donated her previous campaigns, argued that she was, quote, about the most liberal person in the U.S. Senate. Police say a 17-year-old Sesame Place employee in Bucks County was assaulted over the weekend for reminding two park guests to wear their masks.
Huh.
The incident happened around 5 p.m. on Sunday at the amusement park in Langhorne. Sesame Place reopened this summer with a strict mask policy in place. Police said the 17-year-old, reminded a male and female guest about the mandatory mask policy. And according to police, the two guests responded to the request in an aggressive manner, closing the distance on the teenager, which caused him to back up. Police said both guests then struck the 17-year-old Sesame Place employee in the face, knocking him to the ground.
Man, I would have called for Snuffleupagus.
The male, he's the biggest one.
The biggest one is,
even bigger than Big Bird. Yeah.
Bulk-wise.
The male and female guest, along with their party, then exited the park. The teenager was taken to a nearby St. Mary's Medical Center and had to undergo surgery.
Are you kidding?
For injuries to his jaw and teeth. Yeah.
So they beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, pretty bad. The suspect's vehicle was identified, and Middletown Township worker with Sesame Place security in reviewing surveillance footage. Police said the couple fled in a car with New York plates. Middletown Township police are working with the New York Police Department and other agencies. Once positive ID is established and the charges with extradition is approved by the Bucks County District Attorney's Office, detectives will seek arrest warrants. I hope they get those people.
Oh, yeah, that's him.
Yep. There's your witness right there. Police say there have been at least two large parties at a Sicklerville, New Jersey home in the last several weeks. And despite attempts to stop the most recent pool party on Sunday, hundreds showed up and paid a cover charge to get in. Police in Gloucester Township released a video from the party showing a crowded party at a backyard pool on Prospect Court. The police say a large for-profit party at the same home in July caught their attention. They soon heard another one was in the works, hosted by homeowner Jeffrey Davis Jr. and promoted by Marheem Miller of Camden.
So outside the pandemic thing, it would be illegal to have a for-profit party in a resident. Would it or would it?
I don't know. I mean, we always used to charge cover if there was a keg that
right. But I'm wondering, like zoning or if that's a violation.
It's probably technically illegal.
Right?
Yeah, they're probably not, claiming all these on their IRS reports.
Right, yeah, exactly. So police say about 250 people were observed at the home without masks, not social distancing. Police also say several cars were parked illegally and trash was left on the streets. Citations were issued to the homeowner, including noise and zoning violations, littering and violating the governor's executive orders. The party promoter also faces charges for violating executive orders. Neighbors say that they would like the parties to stop. Police say that the township was hit hard by COVID-19, and gatherings like this were not helping. They had 57 deaths, 10 police officers at one time were infected in that area, so they don't want this going on.
Right.
According to Governor Phil Murphy's orders, outdoor gatherings are restricted to 500 people with social distancing or mask wearing when it's not when that's not possible. Indoor gatherings are capped at 25 people or 25% capacity, with an exception for weddings, funerals, memorial services, and religious and political activities, which are capped at 100 people or 25% capacity, and masks must be worn at all times. All right, in sports this morning. The Phils lost in extra innings last night, 10-9 to the Baltimore Orioles. Phillies center fielder Roman Quinn missed a dive on a line drive off the bat of Baltimore's Austin Hayes, which resulted in a go-ahead inside-the-park home run, which became the game winner. The Phils will play today at home against the Orioles. That is at 7:05. Sixers lost the Phoenix Suns, 131-17. Sixers were without their stars. Without all of their stars.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Al Horford.
Their parents actually played.
Yeah. And Josh Richardson were all out. Ben Simmons had successful surgery to remove a loose body from his left knee Monday and is out indefinitely.
Jeez.
The Sixers, who dropped to 49-29 in the season, take on the Toronto Raptors tonight, 6:30, for their penultimate seeding game. The Flyers start their first round of the playoffs tonight as the number one seed. Take on the Montreal Canadiens at 8 o'clock in the Toronto bubble. The game can be heard here on WMMR. And last night, Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-2 with the game winner scored by Braden Point in the fifth, the game's fifth overtime. The Blue Jackets' Junas Corposalo racked up a new NHL record of 85 saves.
What?
In the game. Unbelievable. So that is a record. And one last thing. Football's Big Ten just made it official. Their 2020 games are postponed due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The 14-game league hopes to play the postponed games in the spring. The move sidelines big names, including Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. It also makes it more likely that few or no college football games will be played this fall. And there you go. That is what I have in sports news and all of it for you this morning. We're back from an extended bit of time off, vacay. At least most of us are back.
Yes.
Kathy is still gone. Nick is still gone. They'll be out for the rest of the week. They'll be returning on Monday.
We had to play sort of a Tetris thing with getting all the vacation done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're sort of encouraged to take it all. And everything slid because of the corona stuff at the beginning of it. We had some vacation plan that we never got to take. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. So with that, we try to return back into the swing of things, of which we do have a secret text word, which we do on Wednesdays. We have your chance to win a digital download of Caddyshack celebrating its 40th anniversary. If you're interested in that, you can do it now. Text the word secret to 39333. We'll send it back a word back to you. Later on, we will ask you to call in with that word, and we'll also grab a random texter, and we'll give that prize to you as well. Word of the week prize is going to be a short one. Three letters this week, I believe. Has anybody else been doing letters this week?
No,
then that's it.
That's all right, good. Thing.
All right, we have a ticket for you and three friends to see Bert Kreischer, presented by the Preston and Steve Show this Sunday, and as part of the live-in, drive-in concert series at Citizens Bank Park. So make sure that you keep track of the letters. Only three of them. They'll be at the end of the show, and you'll be able to go on Sunday. It's going to be a pretty sweet deal. We will be there as well.
Yes.
And looking forward to seeing Bert. So also on Wednesdays, Fox Good Day, we're going to go live on TV this morning. We will do that. And we also are going to have comedian Joe List, who's going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. And he's got a comedy special on Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So we will talk to him a little bit later on this morning. So those things and more are taking place. A lot happening, as well as the entertainment news, stupid question, that stuff coming up right after these. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the super question this morning, going to give away a carload pass for up to four people to see Steel Panther.
What?
At the Circle Drive in theater in Scranton. And they're worth the drive, gang. They're just awesome. So this is going to be September 12th. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. So a question that I have you this morning concerns the NATO phonetic alphabet.
Yes.
What is the word for the letter Q in the NATO phonetic alphabet? 215-263-WMMR. Pretty easy question. Let's see if you know the answer to that. I'll go through some birthdays. While we're waiting for that call to come in, today is Wednesday, August 12th, and it is the most tanned man in the world's birthday, George Hamilton.
George Hamilton. I just saw him in some documentary, and I forget what he was talking about another celebrity. He's sharp. He's funny. He's still leathery.
Yes.
Looking very tan. But, man, he's at that age, he's really humming along.
Yeah. I always liked him. He's 81 years old today. He's been in everything from Doc Hollywood to Love at First Bite to Where the Boys Are. Wow, he goes back to Where the Boys Are.
Where the Boys Are. He was in a movie called The Power about telekinetic and telekinesis stuff, and it was really good. The fact that he's so tan and that his teeth are so white, it's an amazing calibration tool that he's turned into.
81. Pete Sampras, the tennis player, dominated the sport for a while.
Yeah.
Is celebrating his 49th birthday
today. I saw him play once.
Really?
Yeah,
in New York?
Pretty amazing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. At Forest Hills.
Yeah. Casey Affleck also celebrates a birthday today. He's 45 today.
I like him.
What was that movie?
Mystic
Pizza.
No. Mystic Pizza.
The hell is it?
Manchester by the Sea.
Now, that is a party movie.
It is. I mean, it's gut-wrenching, but his performance in that is just amazing. It's
hilarious. You know what? I didn't see it, and because you guys keep telling me about how horribly depressing it is, but he won an Oscar for it, right?
He did. Preston, I mean, it's just a punch in the gut for like an hour and a half, but I think it ends with a happy ending.
Okay.
And some people interpret it
as happy
way.
As it can be, right?
So, but it works.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can go back to the American Pie movies. Remember,
yes.
He was the wiser older brother.
Had
moved on and gave his brother, his little brother, advice.
I watched that the other day. It's still funny.
It was on cable, right?
Yeah, it's doing its rounds on HBO.
Good. I still like that movie. He's 45 today. Mark Knopfler, the great Mark Knopfler, turned 71 years old today.
Huge fan. I've seen Dire Straits 4 or 5 times in concert.
Nice.
And his solo stuff is sensational.
Yeah, and he's also, for the longest time, in Nashville, a gun for hire. I mean, he was like a top-level and sought-after studio musician.
Did he not write the soundtrack to, or part of the soundtrack, for The Princess Bride?
You know what? I think you are correct about that, Steve. Yeah. He is 71 years old today. Rebecca Gayhart, who we remember in everything from the Urban Legend movies to, what was the TV show she was on? Felicity?
She
was on 90210.
90210.
Did she kill somebody in a car accident,
no,
right?
No, she got killed.
Not in the TV show.
IRL, Marissa.
In real life. Not in the world you live in, 90210.
Well, in 90210... she took Dylan's Porsche go do something, and then Dylan had a hitman after him, so they shot at the Porsche thinking it was him, but it was really her.
Just okay. Take a drive up the coast. They blew up Dylan's car. Do you remember that? They blew it up, yes.
Oh, my God.
But she killed somebody in real life.
Yeah, there was
like her and her husband, right? McSteamy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a car accident, and I don't remember. Yeah, vehicular manslaughter. Here, I'm looking it up on Wikipedia, but it's... I don't have time to go through the whole damn article, folks. Sorry about that. What do you want from me?
Why did you even bring it up?
Santa's got to go. Rebecca Gayhart is 49 today.
They hit somebody as they walked across the street in L.A.
Oh, they hit a pedestrian. Okay. And then the last birthday is model and actress Cara Delevingne. And she is 28 years old today.
So now they're calling for a director's cut of The Suicide Squad that she's in. And I thought she was a really compelling character in that movie, which is uneven. I like the first 40 minutes of it, I really love, and then it turns to crap. But we'll see if that happens.
So she's 28 today. Happy birthday to everybody celebrating birthdays today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to a stupid question. In the NATO phonetic alphabet, what is the word for the letter Q? 215-263-WMMR. And I am going to go to Andy for that answer. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, Andy. So what is the word for Q in the phonetic alphabet?
Quebec.
That is correct. Hang on a second, Andy. We got your info, and we're going to set you up with a carload pass for up to four people to see Steel Panther at the Circle Drive-In Theater. It's the Circle Drive-In Theater. There you go, in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th. And tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Got a lot of things to get to in the world of celebrities, and we'll start with actor Lakeith Stanfield. He is letting everyone know that he is okay after a series of alarming posts on social media. He wrote, "I'm okay, everyone," in the message. He said, "I appreciate everybody checking in on me, but I'm good. I'm not harming myself. Much love." He had deleted all of his previous posts.
What's he known from? I'm not familiar with the actor.
Oh, yeah, you are. He was in Selma. And also, do you remember that?
Oh, I do. Okay.
Can I help you? The phone.
The second you said Selma, I knew who you're talking about.
Yeah. And then also Get Out. He was the, like, when the couple gets to the house for the first time, he's like the first black guy that you meet that is like kind of like under
the
trance.
Like a handyman. Yeah. He's really good.
Wait, is that who he played?
No, not the handyman. He's younger.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, so he said, "I'm okay, everyone," and he deleted the previous post, and he had apparently had worried a bunch of people when he had posted shots of a pill bottle for Carvadillo. No.
Isn't that an animal?
No.
They get killed all the time on the roads of Texas.
Carvadillo.
Oh, God damn it, I just hit a Carvadillo.
Carvadillo. I guess is how you say that. It's a Carvadillo.
It makes you fall up into a little shelled thing.
Yeah. It looks like the body of an actual VW Volkswagen, so they call it a Carvadillo.
Oh, my God.
Instead of an Armadillo.
God, I love my Carvadillo. When it rains, I just ball up.
I guess it's Carvadillol, typically used to treat high blood pressure. He wrote a worrying message, too. He had written, "I like to be by myself because I can hurt myself and no one tells me to stop or fakes like they care."
Why wouldn't he think that would cause concern?
He also wrote, "Reality is boring and moves too slow and no one is trustworthy." And another one he wrote, "Outside is crazy. I'ma just stay inside from now on. Bottoms up." Actor Patton Oswalt, who had appeared on BoJack Horseman with him, had confirmed that he's okay. He said, "Just got confirmation. Lakeith is okay. Sorry if I overreacted. Okay, getting off Twitter for a while. Text or DM someone you haven't texted or DM'd for a while and tell them a cool memory you have about them. Good night." And that's apparently what
it is. That's good advice. I posted a picture over the weekend and raised some alarm. It was just an armadillo. Oh. And people said, "Why'd you post that?" And why did you post that? Because I couldn't remember the name for Carvadillo.
Okay, gotcha. Reports say that Nick Cannon is planning to sue Viacom CBS for $1.5 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is the estimated value of his hit show, Wild and Out. As previously reported, Viacom CBS severed ties with Cannon following statements that he made about the Jewish community. A member of Nick's team told The Shade Room about the upcoming suit. "It is just that simple. Wild and Out belongs to Nick. The show was created by Nick Cannon with his idea and original thought. Wild and Out has brought billions of dollars in revenue to Viacom since 2015, and Nick deserves and has earned everything it is worth."
Okay, so they cut ties with him, but he is going to continue hosting The Masked Singer, right?
Is he?
Is that the deal?
I heard, I thought that was the story.
Right. Yeah.
But and I mean, he's still on the Supreme Court.
But no, my question about Wildin' Out is, you know, does he have legal ownership?
I think he does. I think he's the legitimate creator of that series.
Okay, then if he's got it in paper, I don't know why he needs to sue. Who knows? Nick's team said that he plans to use the money from the suit to invest in better education in underserved communities, as well as creating psychological programs, youth organizations, and developing inner-city communities. The source added, if Viacom believes in growth, equality, education, then Viacom will do what is right and pay Nick what they owe him and give him his 1.5 brand.
God almighty.
There you go.
God almighty, that's a lot of cash.
It is. Chris Pratt, Katherine Schwarzenegger announced the birth of their first child together. That was on Monday on social media. What a cute little baby.
It's so cute. Look what I tickle under his chin. Or is it a her, right? It's a girl?
Yes, yeah. Yes. But
that makes it even weirder.
Yeah, I know.
Listen to the voice on that.
They shared a sweet photo with the new baby girl. The couple said that they named their daughter Lila Maria Schwarzenegger Pratt.
Oh, boy.
So that's the full name. He had written, we couldn't be happier. Both mom and baby are doing great. He said, we are extremely blessed. Love, Katherine and Chris. And he also included two Bible verses in the Instagram post. She posted a similar message to her own social media accounts without the Bible verses.
And one word, Carmadillo.
And Carmadillo. The pair also posted an adorable photo alongside the announcements, which appeared to show the hands of Pratt, Schwarzenegger, and the new baby girl. The baby's middle name is shared, of course, by Schwarzenegger's mother, Maria Schreiber. Congratulations from the star's famous friends quickly poured in following the announcement. The baby is Katherine's first child and Pratt's second. He was previously married, of course, to Anna Faris, and they share a son, Jack, who was born in August of 2012. They divorced in 2018 after nearly 9 years of marriage.
Their son looks exactly like the kid from Kramer versus Kramer. Remember that movie?
I remember the movie, I'd have to go back.
Adorable.
Jack, this Chris and Anna? Okay.
Yeah.
It looks just like him. Okay.
I mean, it did a couple of years ago. He's probably driving a car now.
Pratt and Katherine were married in June of 2019, so they have a baby.
That's cool.
Thrilled.
It's very cool. And they're apparently back to work on the next Jurassic Park movie.
Okay.
Are they?
Yeah.
Already? Good.
Well, finding love seems like such a personal journey.
It does, man.
But for Tashia Adams, who is taking over the Bachelorette from Claire Crawley.
I love you, Tashia.
Who found love earlier than convenient for the production is it's less so. Reality Steve reports.
Me?
No, not you. Some dude named Reality Steve.
Oh, boy.
Or it's a service. Who the hell knows? But anyhow, reports that Adams will have to settle for the men already cleared for Crawley season.
All right, so we assume they're all getting COVID tests and they're all being locked down.
Yeah, I mean, they're right now, they're just putting the cast together.
Right.
So per Reality Steve, they reached out to guys who never made cast and guys who had been eliminated in previous rose ceremonies from Claire, but I have not heard of one guy that went back to filming. So Tashia's guys are whoever was left on Claire's season and possibly any new guys that were asked who were never part of the 32 names back in March or 42 names announced in July, and I guess that's possible as well, he said.
So Tashia's just getting the leftovers?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
But, I mean, I guess they didn't start filming, so...
Who didn't make the final cut?
I don't know.
Which, I love you, Tashia!
It means that she gets Crawley's rejects with a few add-ins.
Look. I brought you a rat on a stick.
It's usually a flower.
In my world, this is a flower.
Yeah, they're having to take whoever they can get right now, I guess.
Hey, man, pickings are light. And I don't got the COVID, but you don't want to know what I do have.
As has been widely reported, Crawley and former contestant Dale Moss have found love and are focusing on each other right now.
I have a great date planned. We're going to take a balloon ride over the dumps.
Meanwhile, Mike Johnson, the previous fan favorite who was thought to be content, thought to be in contention as the first Black Bachelor, slammed the franchise in an interview with Variety. He had said, ultimately, he was not selected in the season, starred Peter Weber. He told Variety that he's, quote, baffled by the switcheroos on the current season. He said, I'm definitely surprised. This is a bit much. The point is for the lead to find love. And then the second point is to create a little bit of drama because the fans like the drama. But from what I'm hearing, they're going over the top like too far. But we'll see. They always do a great job, and they have for nearly 20 years, so they're doing something right.
Well, of course, that's incorrect. It's totally about going over the top, and it's hardly about love. And then they had the older bachelorette who apparently fell in love with one of the contestants ahead of starting filming of the series.
Oh.
Yes. So that's rubbed all that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And not in a good way.
No, not in the good rubbing out way. No, that there is a very good rubbing out way. They're wearing their feelings on their shirts. Celebrities including Jessica Alba, Regina King, Olivia Wilde, Mandy Moore, Lala Anthony, Amy Schumer, Viola Davis, Halle Berry, Busy Phillips, Samuel L. Jackson, and Tracy Ellis Ross are a few that are demanding justice for Breonna Taylor, who was gunned down in her home in March by Louisville Metro Police Department officers. They and dozens of others posted Instagram photos featuring themselves wearing a T-shirt from the black and female-owned Phenomenal that reads, Arrest the Cops Who Killed Breonna Taylor. Several captions were written as well there, and it's in partnership with the Breonna Taylor Foundation, to which all profits from tees will be donated. There's been a wave of celebrity activism for Taylor. Oprah Winfrey put her on the cover of O Magazine for the first time that she didn't cover it in 20 years. And then bought 26 billboards, one for each year of her life, demanding justice in her hometown. So they are posting that on social media. Excuse me. Bindi Irwin.
Yes.
And her husband, Chandler Powell, are pregnant. Well, she's pregnant.
And What's he doing?
They're going to have a baby together.
Oh, I just slapped the bun in the oven.
The 22-year-old announced.
She got up in my haunches.
The good news on Instagram. They
oh, very naughty. Crawled up on top of her. Fully aroused, you know. Looked for the opening and went for it. Have a look at these. Before I knew it, I felt a few pumps, and the baby was in the oven.
Whoa, that's how it happened.
Yep. Very candy down here on Australia.
Yeah. Let it all hang out.
Absolutely. Like my testes.
They tied the knot March 25th, and Irwin had captioned the photo early Tuesday, which showed herself smiling alongside Powell as they held a tiny Australian zoo uniform that said, Baby Wildlife Warrior Due 2021. Chandler and I are proud to announce that we are expecting. It is an honor to share this special moment in our lives with you.
So, Bindi's mother, what's the mom's name again?
I've forgotten.
She hasn't dated. She hasn't at least.
Sandy? Is it Sandy?
Sandy?
I don't know.
Perhaps, but she has not dated, it appears to be, or gotten with anybody. And the word is she has no desire to after Steve Irwin passed. That was it. She was completely in love.
Yeah. Bindi's a cutie.
She's absolutely a cutie. Yeah. And the guy looks like, a chiseled sort of Aussie type.
Yeah. Will Smith is going to bring a very different version of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to the small screen via Smith's Westbrook Studios and Universal TV. I was inspired by a fan-made trailer that went viral last year.
Did you watch it?
No.
It's very dark.
Okay.
But they're making references to all the things that are in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air series.
Now, I've seen one before that was like that. That's probably it.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
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 All right.
But it's done in a very dark way.
Morgan Cooper created the trailer, which reimagined the show as a drama with a darker undertone that portrayed a different side of the story of a West Philly teen going to live with his uncle in Bel-Air after getting into trouble. Cooper is working on the show along with showrunner Chris Collins. So that'll be interesting.
It's interesting. They're doing also another riff on this, taking a sitcom and going darker. They're doing Imperfect Strangers.
Imperfect Strangers. Yeah. Wow. So one of nothing them is
Balky's
ideal
a terrorist.
In that life. Wow. Kylie Jenner. Don't be ridiculous. Kylie Jenner.
I'll kill you.
If you're ridiculous,
don't
I'll
be
kill
ridiculous
you.
Or I'll blow the whole goddamn block up.
Kylie Jenner has her birthday best in Stormy. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians star celebrated 23 with her 2-year-old daughter.
Mm.
She shared a picture of them together in front of a delicious-looking white cake and captioned it, the best gift of all.
It's delicious.
Her ex and Stormy father's Travis Scott paid tribute to her on Instagram story. And she got plenty of toasts from her mom and sisters. Kris Jenner wrote, Kylie, You never cease to amaze me with everything you do in life.
She's amazeballs.
You are the most wonderful daughter, granddaughter, sister, friend, and unbelievable mommy. You are the most thoughtful, generous, considerate, creative, smart, and loving girl.
Mm.
And I'm so blessed God chose me to be your mommy.
My parents used to tell me, get off the couch.
Yes.
Exactly.
At 23?
I never got that adoration.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But okay. Yeah. You know, it's funny because they, so Kylie and Travis and Chloe and who's her ex? Tristan
yep. Thompson.
They're all now, apparently, it looks like they're all rekindling their relationships.
Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it?
And that's, we need that.
Steve, this was sad. This guy's a character actor, you'll know who he is, because he's been on the Love Boat before, but Good Time star, and also Sanford and Son star, Raymond Allen has died. He was 91 years old. His daughter confirmed the news on Facebook, writing, his laughter will ring in heaven. Rest in heavenly peace, Raymond Allen, the last of 12 siblings. He got his start in 1946 in Fight That Ghost. And on Sanford and Son, he played as Uncle Anderson. And then on Good Times, he was Ned the Wino.
He was great.
He was hilarious.
A funny guy.
So sad.
He's in his 90s?
91 years
old.
That's
a good run.
That's a real good run, exactly. A year after getting together, Newsroom star Olivia Munn and Philadelphia Fusion president Tucker Roberts have called it quits.
Whoa!
I knew that would perk you up, Marissa.
Marissa was the first, I think, to bring us, right? You mentioned something that they might be dating a while ago.
Yes, well, and when we had Tucker and we didn't know if we could talk about it or not.
We kind of get
the talk from the publicist of what's, you know, okay to talk about. She said it was, you know, okay to touch on it, but...
Okay. Was it amiable and sakiable?
As far as I know, I think she came in for the big Fusion event last year at the Met.
Well, that's a big loss for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. Though she has been overdoing the lip filler.
Yeah.
Have you seen it recently?
All right, so we're okay with this?
Yeah. I think if your lips are too big, you should not have love.
Right.
No, she was on, I forget who she, Whitney Cummings, her podcast, and they were talking about romance. But
Preston showed me a video of her a couple of weeks ago, and I thought she looked great in that video when she cut up her painting.
She found her Psylocke samurai sword, and she was twirling it around.
I watched it,
And there was a painting on the wall behind her. She slashed it. Right into it. Whoops.
I wish that character would get more screen time.
I love Psylocke. I loved Psylocke when I was when I collected the comics. I always thought she was a great character. By the way, a rep for Munn says they broke up at the end of last year. But this is now just kind of surfacing.
She was with Aaron Rodgers before, right?
Yep. And then Aaron Rodgers was then with Danica Patrick. That's over.
Yep.
When are these guys going to... When are they going to find
When are they going to find love?
They want love.
It's difficult.
I know. You got to get a rat on a stick.
This is for you.
That's apparently me.
I left it half dead so you could have the thrill of the kill.
Aww.
Now that's love.
And you want to take all the fun out of it.
Hey, this is good news for you, Steve. Lionsgate has confirmed that John Wick 5 is in the works. This is particularly surprising because John Wick 4 hasn't even been filmed yet.
Why would they stop it? I love that series. It's incredible how much I love that series.
The studio is bullish on keeping Keanu Reeves on board as the title assassin for the foreseeable future. With that, they are planning to shoot the next two installments back-to-back, so they're going to tear right through them. This was confirmed during a recent Lionsgate quarterly earnings call. Details are scarce right now, but the hope is to shoot both sequels next year after Keanu finishes up another sequel to one of his franchises, The Matrix. So number 4, they're going to be working.
So they're doing that right now. They're filming right now. I saw some footage. I guess now it's when they take to any city in America or around the world, somebody has a phone and someone's capturing footage, and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Did you guys see the story that came out a few months ago about John Wick was never supposed to be called John Wick?
No.
It was supposed to be called Scorn, but every time Keanu Reeves would do an interview, he would call it the John Wick movie. They just completely Keanu'd the title
Scorn?
Of the movie.
I didn't hear that. No.
Changed the title of it.
So it was John Wick. Did John Wick 2 have it? Because John Wick 3 was Parabellum.
Yes.
Was John Wick 2 anything?
Did it have a name to it as opposed to just John
Carmadillo.
Wick 2? Carmadillo.
John Wick 2, Carmadillo.
I like those movies. I've gotten into them.
Yeah.
I'm usually
really?
Not, like, I don't turn on action movies like Bourne Identity or any of that stuff, but these are good.
I'll tell you why it caught my fancy right out of the gate. Just the high concept of this guy has gotten out of this lifestyle. You know this legend of John Wick, and he's just, you just don't want to mess with him, and then they kill a puppy that's his dog, and that sets it off. In Parabellum, there's that great line, yeah. Angelica Houston says, all this for a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it continues.
Well, that one was for you. This one's for me. Tron 3 is officially in the works.
With
Lion director Garth Davis. It runs in the family writer Jesse Wigeto and Suicide Squad star Jared Leto all in tow.
So I liked the second movie. I liked what they tried to do with it. I didn't think it was great. You know, the CGI was a little disorienting on Jeff Bridges, but overall I thought it was a pretty decent attempt. What did you think?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yep. I enjoyed it just because I love that world.
Yeah.
Yep. Leto took to Twitter to express his gratitude and excitement over the role, and in doing so, he just might have accidentally leaked the official title of Tron 3, and it's possible that it's going to be Tron Ares. If you head to Leto's Twitter, you'll find a lovely but generic message about his excitement, simply saying, I'm so very excited to be excited and proud to confirm that, yes, I will be starring in Tron. We will work as hard as we possibly can, blah, blah, blah. But apparently in a tweet that has since been deleted, he didn't just say Tron, he said Tron Ares.
Uh-huh.
So there are rumors that that might be the title of the film.
A lot of times they plant those things just to throw people off, too.
Zac Efron has boarded a remake of Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, man.
What?
Stop it.
I mean, come on!
Being produced for Disney+. Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, and Ted Danson starred in the original, which chronicled their woes as bachelors caring for and then falling for a baby. But I don't know who else is rumored to be in the movie.
There is a movie coming out on Disney Plus on Friday that I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but it's called Magic Camp. And
I like magic, and I like camps.
You're excited?
Yeah, it's like, well, I didn't know it was coming out, and then it showed up on my Twitter feed, and Adam Devine's in it, and I'm like, okay, all right, this gives me something to look forward to.
Is this a kids' movie?
Probably.
Okay.
Have you gotten on board? What's the Kissing Booth is one that's really popular.
Yeah, my kids have.
I watched a bit of the first one with Joey King.
Right.
And I could get into that.
Oh, I know why. We're watching the video. This is the dude from Pitch Perfect, right?
No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not because it's him.
No, you do kind of have a crush on him.
I do not.
I'm shocked you would say that.
Jordan Fisher is a guy. Oh, no. He's from. Because Jordan Fisher's in another thing on Disney Plus. But anyway, Jordan Fisher's the new Evan Hansen, for those you guys don't know.
All right. Now, by a crush, I don't mean like you're attracted to him, but you just love that
you
guy.
You would submit to his sexual advances.
That is what I meant to say.
I'm more of a Ben Platt guy from Pitch Perfect. Okay. Either way, I like magic, guys.
So do I, yeah. I just might check it out myself.
All right, and then one other thing. There is a development of a TV adaptation / remake, whatever you want to call it, of Penny Marshall's A League of Their Own. Entertainment Weekly has reported that Amazon has picked up the new League of Their Own series with Abby Jacobson now set to star alongside a bunch of other people who I don't know. There's a lot of names here. I have no idea who they are.
If they put the right people behind it and take a longer view of the women's league.
Yeah, so this is it's going to be a whole new ensemble of characters,
right.
And it's not going to, you know, be on Dottie and Kit and that whole thing. It's just the league.
You'll have Kit, but Kit from Knight Rider.
Those paths will the different paths will include a deeper look at race and sexuality.
Huh.
And, so it's they're going to make that happen.
So. There's so much in the way of rebooting. You know, they've announced, I sent out, they're doing a MacGruber series, you know, with Will Forte, which is cool, on Peacock. Now, the question I had is, are they allowing, because I've watched some stuff on Peacock, but mostly archive shows, are they going to allow cursing?
Well, so I've watched, I believe it was Yellowstone that I watched on Peacock.
And they're letting the curses fly?
Well, dude, there was nudity. I mean, it's just straight up. Like,
then I'm down with that.
You know, boobs and all that. So, yeah.
All right, we're ready for the clips, so let's get to them. Start with this. Contestants attempt to match the answers of six celebrities in a reboot of Match Game. And in this clip, Alec Baldwin discusses philanthropic motivation for hosting the show.
Well, I know that when they first came to me to do this, the idea was to do, as I've done with a variety of things, I did credit card commercials, I did stuff for Amazon, to get money to put into my foundation for my charity. And when they came to me the first year and said, we're going to do this summer package, I said, great, I'll give that to the charity.
Match game airs Sunday night, 10 o'clock. That's on ABC. Here's the next clip. A Canadian journalist investigates the circumstances surrounding the suspicious arrest of a heroin addict in Most Wanted. In this clip, co-star Jim Gaffigan discusses how his character, Glenn Picker, falls into the storyline.
It's about a guy who was framed because during the peak of the war on drugs, they really were looking for to bring down a kingpin. So they pinned it on this guy in his early 20s, and I set him up because I'm that kind of guy.
Does Gaffigan do much in the way of straight drama or straight character stuff?
He does. He hadn't, but he's doing it now more. Yeah. I think he likes it. And I have not seen this, but I've heard good reviews of it. So
Most Wanted is available now on demand. There you go. That's what I have for you in our entertainment report. Back into the swing of things from vacation, and we have ourselves guests on the program. Joe List is going to be joining us a little later, and we also have to go live on Fox Good Day this morning. So we will do that in a little while as we get back into the swing of things. It's going to be hot, and it's going to be steamy today. Ah! Heads up. We'll get some storms on the way later. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you hang with us this morning.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Marissa. You know, it's funny because anytime we take days off, vacation, we expect that when we return, you know, Alaska fell into the ocean.
Where did it go?
Yeah,
where did it go?
Something along those lines will happen. And, of course,
the equator shifted.
Several things did happen while we were gone. It was interesting. And, you know, there were some really like that Beirut explosion happened while we were gone. Whoa, dude. Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah. I'm seeing the footage of that. And I guess it was Nick Murphy who here when our text chain likened that footage to that scene in Terminator 2 where she has a vision of the city blowing up and the blast moving across and destroying buildings as it's going.
Yeah. The shockwave.
The
visual shockwave.
Ridiculously terrifying.
Yeah, that was scary. And then as the days went on, more angles came. And did you see the one where the woman was having her wedding photos taken?
No.
And so she's this gorgeous bride, big white dress, and she's standing there, and they're just taking photos. And all of a sudden, just boom, and you see the whole, you know, street shake, and she just runs and takes off. And it's like, here's, you know, this beautiful moment taking place. But at least, you know, she didn't get injured or lose her life.
But ammonium nitrate is incredibly dangerous. So that there was a warehouse full of it, and there was footage. Okay, we're watching the footage, I guess, up here, Preston, of this woman.
Yeah.
She's getting her shots, and
All of a sudden you'll see, boom, like her dress flies up, and then you see all this debris coming down the street, and then everybody runs. And yeah, so several different, you were talking about a woman who got shot across the room.
Security camera in her house, or some sort of camera in her house, pointed down. She's standing at sliding doors, and then she's obviously looking at the smoke in the distance. And after the explosion, it's just a nanosecond. The glass on the sliding doors blows out, and Preston, like she's a rag doll, gets shot across the room.
Yeah.
You cannot even imagine the power. I was watching a special on the History Channel over the weekend about it's Armageddon America or something like that. But hey, another thing to cheer you up with, how many active volcanoes we have. Possibly volcanoes, especially in Yellowstone. They focus in on the
The super volcano.
Yeah, the super volcano, which basically will destroy everything on Earth. But anyway, those explosions, things of that nature, unless you've been or felt the percussion of something like that when it goes off, you can't even imagine. That explosion was just unbelievable.
The one that always got to me was the video of a volcano in Papua New Guinea
came out
a few years ago.
Yeah.
And you see that visual shockwave go across the ocean.
Yes.
And then right when the people are on the boat, it hits. It just, just shakes everything.
And the pyroclastic flows, that superheat, like hell.
Yeah.
Hell on a freight, on an express train heading towards people. It's amazing.
What's wild about that Beirut thing is now, you know, I've read a couple of stories of what may have caused, and there's a couple theories as to what it was. But you can see, apparently, there were fireworks that had been stored there like for a long time, these expired
fireworks.
And you can see all of the the pyrotechnics going off for a while. You can see all the little flashes and stuff. Yeah, you can see it right there. We're watching the video. See all those little flashes. And apparently it got to that ammonium nitrate and then kaboom, man. That's pretty wild. That's obviously pretty messed up.
And they keep them. Obviously, there's still, you know, there's still things that they're finding and uncovering, and the footage keeps coming in of this.
And then another thing. Just a couple of days after we were off was, the tornado type of the tornadic activity that came through the area.
Yeah.
And my the weird part about that was for me personally, in my neighborhood, obviously that deluge of rain came down.
Right.
The rain was incredibly heavy. But looking outside my window, we didn't see any. It didn't look crazy. The trees weren't swaying so hard, you know, that we were like, wow, this is dangerous. But in another part of my neighborhood, I mean, just like two streets over in my neighborhood, parts of roofs ripped off.
Really?
Trees just ripped in half and uprooted. And
was there a touchdown in your area?
Didn't see any of it. Nothing official, but there had to have been some kind of crazy, intense, you know, downblast of wind. I forgot what they call those little anomalies that happened.
Carmadillo.
Yes. A carmadillo.
Carmadillo.
But that I thought was crazy because it didn't seem where my house was. Like we were getting anything that bad other than rain, but yet a neighbor of mine, his part of his roof caved in on his bedroom.
Yeah. Jeez. Ours was mainly because I was down the shore, and so we didn't get a whole lot of rain. It was a lot of wind.
Okay.
So we weren't getting crushed with the rain. Was mainly we got a lot of rain like in the early morning, and then during the you know, mid-morning to afternoon, it was all wind.
Several of my neighbors had their basements flood. That definitely happened.
See that kind of volume, that kind of rain coming down, there's just no way you can stop it. It'll overwhelm any pump that you have.
Fortunately, we were lucky. My wife and her father had put in, unbeknownst to me, a new, more powerful sump pump in our house.
Oh, no kidding. Where were you
your
this
wife
whole time?
And your dad.
Of course she
father.
Did.
Like,
yes, is what Rochelle does. And so it held up no problem. Like, my next door neighbor is like, I had called him and he's like, dude, it's like getting 2 inches from the top of the sump pump. And sure enough, it ended up overwhelming and flooding. I'm like, looking at mine, I'm like, ours is doing just fine.
Yeah. I was upstairs spanking it.
Yeah, man. And here you are with a flooded house.
That sucks.
And then two houses over, we had to take our pool pump over there to help pump water out of their basement.
Okay. Those pool pumps are really good.
It was like ankle deep. So, loads of people got, that damage that took place.
I felt bad because not only did we not get really much of anything, it got very comfortable and it started raining freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How
it was the total opposite.
And so I was down the shore this week and saw Casey, and his next door neighbor was telling me down the Garden State Parkway, he's like, on your way up, look at exit 24.
Yeah.
He said you can see a clear path where a tornado came through and ripped up. He said it was a pretty incredible sight. I didn't see it personally.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I don't know which exit is 24.
I don't either.
But I did drive up to Ocean City earlier in the week, and it was after that. And I saw, because I had gotten off at basically where Marmora is. And so whatever I saw was south of Marmora and clear. I was like, because I was with Chuck. And I was like, that looks like a tornado came through here.
Was there any indication that any of this tornadic activity shifted the flow of fecal matter away from your beaches?
Mm. No. As a matter of fact.
Dude. So, yeah, you bring that up. I saw it this morning.
All right, while you look for that, by the way, Steve, what happens a lot of times on the Wildwood Crest beaches is after a big storm, you end up having these tide pools, right? Or tidal pools, not tide pools. And so on the beaches, because the beaches are so vast and big, there are just giant...
Like pools.
Ponds.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, at first they're okay, but, you know, they stay for a couple of days. And after a couple of days, they have been just giant bird baths, right?
Yeah.
So now they're warm, okay?
Yeah.
And they're full of bird turds and stuff. And you see kids, like little kids, rolling around in
the bird turds.
Oh, yeah, in the bird turds. Well, do you have it,
dude? No, I don't. So,
did you chuck it?
Department of
Interior?
No, Environmental Protection.
Okay,
I was in Avalon with my family Sunday and Monday. We left yesterday, came back yesterday, and I see this morning. I have to find it.
Is
I have
it right
to
find. Here? I pulled up on the screen for you.
There's nothing on here.
Yeah, here we go.
That's it. That's it.
The DEP
placed
six beaches under swimming advisories after water samples taken shown high levels of fecal bacteria.
Oh, man.
The beaches placed under swimming advisories were 76th Street Beach in Avalon. Guess where we were swimming on Monday?
Oh, well.
Right there.
Well, a lot of this probably has to do, Preston, with the dramatic runoff of all the storm activity.
Well, that's exactly what it is, Steve. And also, Hollywood Avenue Beach and Wildwood Crest.
Hey, I'm near there.
Yeah.
Yay, Wildwood Crest.
Hey, look at it. Take this as a positive. You found out after the fact.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm just happy to know after.
It's like that scene in Vacation
feces.
Where they think they're in this sort of... normal self, like healing
mud spa.
Right. And it turns out it's raw sewage.
So also Grand Street Beach in Cape May, Richmond Avenue Beach in Lower Township, 40th Street Beach in Sea Isle, and 59th Street Beach in Sea Isle as well. So at any time, here's what they said. Anytime a sample, in this case taken Monday, is over 104 colony-forming units.
Oh,
don't you like
that? Doesn't sound good.
Distinction. Colony-forming units of Enterococci, I guess it's, or Ococci.
Yes.
The beach is placed under a swimming advisory and the water is tested again the next day. Enterococci is a type of bacteria that is an indicator of possible contamination within bathing water that can include human or animal waste.
All right, quick question. If it's under a bathing warning, is that simply they advise you not to go in?
Well, here's
but
the deal.
You can still go in?
If the second samples remain higher than 104 colony-forming units.
If you can form pool noodles out of turds.
The beaches will be closed to swimming and remain that way until the sample falls under the limit. So I guess they're going to do another sample today. But it says the high levels of bacteria are usually caused from stormwater runoff from rain.
Well, that's clearly it then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you found out after the fact.
What else happened while we were on vacation? Wilford Brimley died.
This was so sad.
I know.
I've loved Wilford Brimley as a character actor. He's always, been the... like in Cocoon, which, by the way, in case you point out in Cocoon, that he was...
Cocaine.
He was...
He was in his 50s.
Yeah.
He was like 53 years old.
You thought he was like 70.
Yeah. He was like my age. I know. And he was in a retirement
hey,
home.
Hey, Grandpa!
Yeah.
They won't let me play with the TV remote.
Here's a clip from Cocoon, by the way.
I guess me and your grandma are going away. When we get where we're going, we'll never be sick. We won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
You're joking me, right?
No. No.
Would I be able to visit you, Grandma?
No.
That's the beauty.
That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of the whole goddamn thing. There's no way on God's green earth you can make it to me and ask me those questions like, where do clouds come from? Sick. But,
Hang on, there's
53.
There's more. Hang on.
And we wouldn't be able to visit you either, and that kind of bothers me.
When would you, though, if you did?
Soon, my boy, soon. And you know where?
Where?
Look up. Outer space, my lad. Outer space.
Grandpa's lost it. That's where they
I'm glad you're in a home.
Put a psychiatric... evaluation.
He was great, and obviously in The Natural as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just, he's also in the movie The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, that's right.
He freaks. He's the first to realize at the rate of spread how quickly this thing could take over the planet.
The only time I was kind of like, hey, was when he was in The Firm and he plays like the lead enforcer, I guess,
he's too paternal.
Yeah, exactly. To play that part. This is a clip of him. He used to do Quaker Oats commercials.
I used to love those commercials.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, here's a bowl of steaming Quaker oatmeal. And I can't think of a healthier way to start the day.
Stanley made it for me. It's a Stanley steamer.
Yeah.
Cost you one nickel and 4 pennies. So if you can't be bothered with nickels and pennies, throw them in a jar. Start an oatmeal fund. Quaker Oats. It's the right thing to do. Not too expensive either.
All right. I was trying to remember what
the right thing to do.
What their phrase was.
And
the
they
right
say
thing to do.
They sold a ton, obviously many tons of Quaker Oats once those ads hit. They were incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe
he's only 53 or 55 in these commercials.
Look like I'm 150.
I mean, when they announced how old he was when he died, which is what, 80?
I don't know.
83, 86.
I'd have to look it up.
I was like, dude, that's how old I thought he was back
30 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, in Cocoon.
Yeah.
Cocoon. I'm a fan of Cocoon.
I thought he was at least in his 80s in Cocoon. He definitely played that age. And so he was like the kid, you know, Don Amici and
they
and those
were
others.
Legitimately older.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he
Hugh Cronin.
He had that that sort of authoritative, paternal, grandfatherly way about him,
that's
which
right.
was very cool.
That's right.
Do we have the audio?
We do.
Yeah, they just discovered some audio of a special he did, Preston, from years ago, spinning some of his home wit and, good advice.
Here we go.
The wit and wisdom of Wilford Brimley. You know, I never was much for 69. It hurt my knees to get down there, and for what? Just so as I could bury my face in some lady strudel? Folks always seem to be gaga for little babies, but I don't have any use for them. I get fussy and crap my pants too, but you don't see people shaking rattles at me.
Wow. Is he riding a horse during
this? He's riding a horse,
okay. Yeah.
When you get to be my age, nothing kills the chill of a Montana evening like a sweater I've just made out of fresh hitchhiker skin. It's the goddamnedest thing, but at my age, when I drop a load, I get the hiccups.
Wow.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah.
Little bits of wisdom.
He's going to be missed.
He
was that
missed.
Go-to guy.
Yeah, he was 85, by the way. So that's how far he made it.
You know, it's a shame that, like, kids, they won't listen to
they
that.
Won't know.
No,
they won't know that they're occasionally, if you have an orgasm, it might give you the hiccups when you get older.
Mm. What else happened while we were gone? Cardi B came out with a new song.
It's Cardi B and Megan the Stallion.
Megan the Stallion. Mm-hmm. The Stallion, by the way.
That's how you're supposed to say it?
Yeah,
the Stallion.
Like the Ohio State?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Megan the Stallion. Yeah, it's called Wet WAP.
Yeah.
What does it stand for, Preston?
Wet Ass. What can we have P stand for?
Pudding.
Kitty cat.
Wet Ass Pudding.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't believe it. I could not. I first saw this on Twitter, and I was like, okay, well, how bad could it be? Because there were some, politicians and stuff that were just aghast at this. And so then I listened to it with said lyrics. Because if you listen to something on iTunes, you can have the lyrics come up with it.
Yeah.
Right. I was like,
golly.
Gee.
You know what's funny about this and the people that will make a big deal about lyrics in music and so because I listened to the song. Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't offended by it. But I mean, already existing as an art form per se is hardcore pornography.
Right.
And it's just because this is set to a melody,
yeah,
it's now it's now super duper offensive.
And there's tons of stuff like this. There's tons of songs like this.
There's plenty.
but this one is, I think, is certainly creative.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And in fact, we have, want to play a little bit of it?
Yeah.
This is edited, obviously?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house.
Of course there is.
There's
some whores in this
house. That sounds like how Johnny Depp says whore.
There's some whores.
Yeah.
I said certified freak. 7 days a week. Wet ass. Make that pullout game weak. Yeah, you f***ing with some wet ass in a bucket and a mop.
No,
that was a bucket.
Yep, that's bucket.
Oh,
that's
Jesus Christ.
I've listened so many times, but there were like two that got me.
Bucket. Yeah, I said bucket.
Bucket.
Yeah. Right. With some wet ass in a bucket and a mop. Put this wet ass give me everything you got. Put this wet ass.
All right, so we're watching the video of this. The gal that is in the leopard, who is that?
That's Megan.
No, that's Cardi B.
Is that Cardi B?
I don't know my R&B stars. But anyhow, the boob get up on that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That outfit that she's wearing is outrageous.
Do you know who looks good in this? Is Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner's in this?
Yeah, she was walking down the hall. Wasn't that her?
Okay.
Yeah, I think she just walks.
Yeah.
Oh.
She appears. That's her.
That's her.
She peers?
She's a peers.
Oh, a peers.
I was like, I don't know that term either. All right,
we need to peer.
Just peer into the air.
Peering.
Look, I need a hard hit. I need a deep stroke. I need a Henny drink. I need a weed smoke. Not a garden snake. I need a King Cobra with a hook in it. Hope it lean over. He got some money, then that's where I'm headed. Day one, just like his credit. He got a beard when I'm trying to wet it. I let him taste it, now he diabetic. I don't want to spit, I want to go. I want to gag, I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that's swinging the back of my throat.
It's called a uvula. It's called a uvula.
Hard
the dangly thing in the back of his throat is a uvula.
She needed to fill out a lyrical demand. She needed more words, and if she got all clinical, she would have wrapped it up too quickly. It wouldn't have been on the beat.
I'm that's not great. Offended by this song at all. I just don't think it's that great of a song.
When you play it for your kids, what do they think?
I have not done that yet.
Listen, I told you, I don't know my R&B, my hip-hop artists at all, but is that Megan Thee Stallion doing that?
The rap rapping? Part? I think so.
I like her kind of angry, choppy style, like that, the way she's talking. I do kind of like that.
That's trap.
No.
Isn't that style? Style? Like a little bit?
No, trap style is more like a kind of like a whiny, like Post Malone is more trap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a southern rap.
Another clip of, is this Ben Shapiro reading the lyrics?
Yes, he read the, and it made the rounds. They took his reading of the lyrics, and then they did a video.
Did they really?
With him doing it, and they put his face, if you ever get a chance to see the video, on this video. It's pretty funny.
All right, here we go.
Here's some of the lyrics. You ready? Whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. Hold up. I said certified freak 7 days a week. Wet ass P word. Make that pull out game weak. Yeah, you effin' with some wet ass P word. P word is female genitalia. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet ass P word. Give me everything you got for this wet ass P word. Beat it up, N word. Catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this P word right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I want to ride. I do a kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This P word is wet. Come take a dive. It continues along these lines.
Now, that to me is the way you rap it. And you also.
Yes. Oh, no.
I'm referring to female genitalia. P word.
Preston, if I'm out of line here, just I apologize.
Yeah.
Is there any chance your mother would like to record those lines?
Oh, my God.
That would be good.
Would she ever do that?
She probably would, right?
She's way more.
I mean, you just bought her a grand pad. Yeah.
That's true.
These things are a couple $100.
Yeah, we could ask her.
What, do you think that was for free?
I'll see about that. I'll check on that, see if Mom might be interested in spitting for us a little bit.
Then if we can convince Bill Weston to let us play it unedited, that would
be great. Right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think everyone
I'd like to hear Bill reading these lyrics.
That'd be perfect, wouldn't it, babe?
Use it like a coin slot.
Yes.
All up in that little dangly thing in the back of my throat.
Swipe it like a credit card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See Bill.
Oh, man.
Riding on his hog, having it all cranked up.
Smoking a cigar. What do you boys think of this?
Yeah.
Swipe you in the face with the third leg of the stool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here in Sturgis.
Let's see. What else did we miss while we were gone? Tony Bennett celebrated a birthday.
94?
Okay.
I think he was. No. Was he 94? Let's see.
Don't know. You'd have
to. Yeah, 94th birthday.
Wow,
man.
94 years
Dude
old.
Dude can still sing, too. I mean, big time.
Saw him, though, and I forget what I was referencing, but it was recently. And listen, he's entitled to look old at 94. There just was a big difference from just a couple of years ago to now.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's a step when, and I've been noticing it, that senior citizens take when they finally cross over into, wow, okay.
It almost looks like a morph.
You went frail, and it's unfortunate, but yeah, there's a time in life when it happens.
I was just on Instagram the other day, and I hit the search button, and I thought I was seeing celebrities using the old filter, but it was really just Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So there's a picture here in the studio, and he's got a mustache. Is this the most recent? Is this what you're talking about? How
Call
looking?
That my poop filter. You know, when you live in San Francisco, the way I do, and you take a deep breath, you got to make sure you got a brush there.
You know what they got in San Francisco? A lot of wet ass.
A lot of wet ass pee.
Wet ass poopy.
Absolutely. Wet ass poop. And on those hills, it slides right down into the bay.
Ah, that toddling town, right?
Love it.
Yeah.
City by the Bay.
All right, here is Sting tribute. Is this him singing? Is it Tony or Sting?
Sting does a tribute to Tony Bennett. Oh. Yes.
All right, here we go.
Someday, when I'm feeling low, when the world is cold, I will feel the glow just thinking of you.
It's a great song.
Yep.
And the way you've lived, and the way you've lived, and the way you've lived your life. Tony Bennett, happy birthday. You are truly an inspiration, and you give us the confidence to think that we can make the world better. We can fix this world, and the best is yet to come. Have a great day. I love you.
Oh, thank you so much, Stink. Sting.
Stink.
Doesn't he sound like Paul McCartney at the end of that, Preston?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Stink. I appreciate that.
And then here's...
Speaking of Stink, have you ever been to San Francisco?
Here's Stevie Wonder paying tribute.
Tony Bennett. I'm so happy that you're here on this planet. When I think about you, I go back to when I was a little kid, wanting to sing with you, and we sang together in my lifetime. But I think of even deeper things. You associated yourself with the equal civil and social rights for African American. You were there with Martin.
All right.
I don't believe you're blind. I saw a video of a mic stand falling over and you picked it up before it hit the ground. I think you're lying.
So Tony Bennett celebrated his birthday. Wow, that's very cool. Oh, and then one more thing. Then we got to take a break, guys. We're going live on Fox. Good day here. Real quick, Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Had announced or had released a trailer for their reboot.
On Peacock again.
Yeah. And they do reference to the I'm so scared, I'm so excited, I'm so scared thing with the pills. And that's a clip of this particular part here. Here we go.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
This is from the original.
Right.
Okay.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
But they make reference to it in the trailer.
So the people behind 30 Rock, some of the writers and producers got together and they created this reboot. So it has a smart sensibility to it. And then we should have the clip of them.
Okay.
And let's see if we do have it. By the way, it's going to be... So, what's his face? Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley. Yep. They're going to be the only ones from the original cast in it?
That's all I've seen so far.
Those are the ones I've seen, so they've got to have cameos.
Mr. Belding's not working.
Yeah. At least.
In the trailer, the lead kid is Zach and Kelly's son.
Really?
Yes, because in the original trailer, Mario Lopez is sitting... talking to him and says, that was your dad I used to fight over a hot chick with. Oh, and it was your mom I used to fight over.
Okay.
So.
All right. No, we don't have the clip right now, Steve, so we'll have to do that another time. All right. Anyhow, listen, just a few things we had to recap that we missed while we were gone. We do have to take a break. We're going to come back on, and we're going to go live on Fox Good Day.
Yeah.
TV action will return, and some B-File stories are coming up in just a little bit. We got guests and other things going on. I'll tell you about that as we return back to work here at MMR. Back in a moment.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live In at the Drive-In concert series, a month of shows in the Phillies parking lot you'll experience from your car.
93.3 WMMR and Brent Smith and Zach Myers from Shinedown invite you to rock Live In Your Ride Thursday, September 3rd.
Get up, move on.
See the full schedule at WMMR.com. The Live-In at the Drive-In Concert Series. A socially awesome solution to a performance-less pandemic.
Featuring Shinedown's Smith and Myers and many more.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. From 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Music means
a Preston's team, check this out. A mom recently shared online that she and her husband make love sometimes in front of their child. Now the important thing is the age of the child. Their son is 5 months old, and he's normally asleep in a crib.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, he's in college or something like that.
That was my concern as well, Steve. They put a lot of people now put the crib for a newborn in the bedroom with the parents, I think. So I don't know. A lot of people on Instagram especially say, what? You'll make love in front of a five-month-old? Well, the five-month-old doesn't know what's going on, Steve.
Well, exactly. We talked about this. Preston, right? You have kids. In fact, you openly invite kids from the neighborhood in.
Like, sure, if they want to come in while we're having our intimate moments.
But 5 months? I'm not an expert, but I would assume, please illuminate me. A kid is not sentient at that point.
No, it's, listen, personally, I think that's fine, especially, and from what I understand, Mike, I'm reading the article, the baby's usually asleep and in the crib and so on.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if you're quiet about it, if you hold a pillow over your partner's face.
Well, you know, making sure you're not disturbing the child.
Wear gas masks.
Listen, people get aghast about all kinds of stuff like this. There's, as a parent, and those who have kids know that there is a time when you also shower together with your children, and that goes on to a certain age as well, or being naked in front of your kids.
All right, let's make this a more interesting conversation then.
All right.
Give me at what age is the child too old to shower with Preston?
Man.
Ooh. When did you stop showering with your kids?
I don't even remember. It's been so long. I would say 5 or something like
when
that.
When did you
I
stop
guess?
Going away on romantic getaways with your kids?
With my children. We just finished that.
Just finished
past
that?
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't remember when we stopped showering or stopped being nude in front of the kids, because then all of a sudden it became like, they didn't want to see.
You probably instinctively know. I mean, like, a baby is not aware of anything. And I think, you know, again, I don't have kids. My cats are totally fine with watching sex, so that's no problem.
Right, sure. Yeah.
To me, that seems like something that you can just sort of feel around, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Okay, the making love thing then. Preston, what's the cutoff age then?
What about how old are your kids? When did you stop letting them watch you make love in the shower, Preston?
It can we don't do the shower.
Put it
all
like together.
Water. Anyway, but when they start talking, they start saying words around one.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry. They start walking around
one. Okay.
And so I would say by age, just shy of age one, you'd have to cut
that. Okay.
Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Around one.
I was never naked around my children, even when they were in diapers.
Really?
I need to jump in here.
So Casey's
jumping in.
I need to jump in here because I showered with my children all the time because it was super duper efficient. So I would have all three of them in there, and, you know, so probably,
Big old naked Casey party.
Yeah, and he would even bring his butter churn in.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, like, I could get them all cleaned and showered. They would be done. Three children in, like, 5 minutes max.
Sounds like a car
wash. But
he
didn't say an age, though.
So, not only that, Mike and Alex, they would wear the clothes they were going to wear for the week so that they could clean them up, too.
Drip dry.
I
want to
hear ages.
Alex,
it's got to be 6 or 7.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you got to figure, I had three kids under the age of 5 years old, and my youngest was definitely, you know, like 1 or 2, so do a little bit of math.
Break.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's only dirty if you make it dirty, right? There was nothing dirty or disgusting
That's
about
what Ron
it.
Jeremy says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
All right.
It's efficient.
It's confusing. Well, have we?
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Take care, guys.
Again. Right,
later. By the way, so we have the new camera angle on Casey.
How did it look?
Who are watching on Fox 29, it looks great. Because for the longest time, we had a camera that was to my left that shot across the mixing console here. And a lot of times, my mic stand would obscure Casey's face. It's just the way that the room
I hated that angle.
Is laid out.
Casey
and
has an expressive face. It would block it.
Casey now has a more properly placed camera, so we get a good, clear shot of him.
And our eyesight lines are good.
When we go
they
on
are.
Fox Good Day, which
do you notice
excellent.
Something as well of a couple of tweaks that took place?
No.
The door?
Does it not squeak?
Here.
Wait a second.
Shut up. Did they fix that thing? Hold on. All right, Steve's opening the studio door and is going to close, and it is perfectly silent.
Do you have the audio of what it used to sound like, Casey?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. Do we have that?
Yeah. You're going to have to give me a second here. Yeah, this is what it sounded like.
You can't have that.
Almost as bad as it actually was.
It was ridiculous.
It was really bad.
And your
bad.
Microphone's staying pressed and move it around.
This is... Yeah, mine quit. This always
Oh, well. But the stand itself is all oiled up and good now.
Mine was already good. I'd use some petroleum, I forgot what it's called.
Jelly?
Not petroleum jelly. It was something else. But anyhow, yeah. So they're good. I'm glad they tweaked with some stuff. This is what it used to sound like.
That's just too much.
Yeah. Not anymore. So all good. I like that those changes took place. All right. So we did Fox Good Day. Let's do the NJM Insurance Group traffic. We did skip that. Kathy's out. Marissa's going to tell you what's going on. What's up this morning, Marissa?
95 southbound is slowing Cottman to Bridge. Betsy Ross out to Girard. Vine Street Expressway. We're jammed from 8th to 76. Ben Franklin Bridge is slowing from the Toll Plaza out to 8th and Vine. There's an accident at the 30 bypass. It's eastbound at 322. The left lane is blocked. And in Collegeville, ongoing problem all morning. Ridge Pike is closed between Fox Road and Evansburg Road due to an accident. Police are directing traffic around that. This traffic report is brought to you by Allstate. If you're driving less, you could be saving more on car insurance. Save money with pay-per-mile insurance from Allstate. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote today. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Let's get to the B5.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
B-File this morning brought to you by Burke Brothers Landscaping. They have an immediate need for an experienced hardscape foreman who wants to earn a competitive salary and work with the award-winning landscape design and build firm. For more information, just visit BurkeBrothers.com. That's spelled B-U-R-K-E, Brothers.com. A 22-year-old South Carolina woman who ripped out her own eyeballs and smashed them in her hands is learning to live without sight and without crystal meth now.
Crystal meth figures into this. I got it.
Now, Kaylee Murthart has a new set of prosthetic eyes and is ready to start anew. She said, I was so excited to get them.
Are they good or are they just googly eyes?
I haven't seen them yet. They're like gritty. Murthart, whose mishap occurred in February 2018. You know, remember the mishap when she ripped her own eyeballs out?
I mean, stop and think about that. She ripped her own eyeballs out.
But she wants prosthetic eyeballs to help her appear more normal to others. Her boyfriend, Alex, took his resilient girlfriend to Applebee's to celebrate the August 5th surgery. The two have reportedly known each other for 5 years. They had their first date. At Applebee's, so that's why they were going there.
We're at a very expensive French restaurant, honey.
Really? Muthart still can't see, but said that she applied her own makeup for the big date. Muthart is learning to read Braille and plans to get her high school diploma. She has reportedly learned how to cook and clean. She plans to get a guide dog, whom she reportedly believes she'll be able to look after, too.
We assume she's kicked meth in the process, correct?
Yes, she blamed the delusion that led to her blindness on hallucinations caused by a bad batch of methamphetamine. She thought, I thought I had to take my eyes out to survive and save the world.
Oh, my God.
So that's what had happened to her. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Here's a story out of Memphis, Tennessee. A 13-year-old boy who crashed into five people while driving on his grandmother's lap said his grandmother was giving him driving lessons at the time. He said, I didn't want to, but I ain't had no choice. So she just told me to sit on her lap, and I did.
Shut up and sit on my lap.
This is according to 13-year-old Joseph.
And teach you how to drive.
His grandmother, Ernestine Holman, who's 58, faces a number of charges in connection with the crash, including DUI, child endangerment.
Wait, she's only 58?
Yep. Police said that her car was speeding when it hit five pedestrians.
All right, don't do that.
Joseph said, I ain't know what to do. I pushed the brake, but she pushed the gas pedal and went straight ahead and started crashing into those folks.
You're driving me to Phoenix!
Tadarius Allman said that he managed to get out of the way just in time to avoid being hit himself, but he saw the car run over his friends, and he said, just roomph, you know?
Roomph.
She just, like, ran them folks totally over, like, didn't stop.
And then this little fella, this little 13-year-old fella, he gets out of the vehicle and goes running over to his wife.
After crashing, Joseph said he managed to scramble out of a window and flag down help. Joseph said, I looked to see if someone was hurt. I seen like three or four or five people on the ground, he said. Many of the victims suffered broken bones and head injuries, friends and relatives had said. And the mother of one victim said that her son was in surgery Wednesday afternoon for a broken leg. Joseph said, when I got out, folks just started hollering at me, talking about, what'd you do? What'd you do? They asked Joseph's mother, Jennifer Holman, why she allowed her son to take driving lessons from his grandmother, considering he's only 13 years old. And police said Holman's license had been suspended for 5 years. And she responded by saying, I don't know. Joseph said the experience.
So they thought this through.
Has put him off driving. He said, I ain't want to drive no more. These are direct quotes, by the way.
He ain't want to.
No. Holman's first court appearance is scheduled for Thursday morning.
It's reality.
What'd you do?
Cleveland police are investigating after a man and his parachute were found hanging from a downtown parking garage. Police were called at 2 a.m. for a man hanging 40 feet in the air. Officials said,
I misjudged.
They said the man's parachute was stuck on the parking garage. Firefighters rescued the man from the side of the building. Wait till you hear this story, though. The 34-year-old man told police that he jumped from a plane with four other friends who reportedly landed safely in the park. He said when he deployed his parachute, he broke several cords, causing him not to be able to make left turns. The man said that he was supposed to land in a grassy area. The man told police he's a Marine Corps veteran and considers himself to be a thrill seeker to fill the void. He was transported to hospital with a broken right leg, which he injured when striking the parking garage. The man told police the plane he jumped out of had belonged to Cleveland Skydiving Center, and it was his fifth jump of the day. However, the company said the man was not listed on any of the flight manifests over the weekend and had no flights into the city at all. Cleveland Skydiving Center.
So what the hell happened?
Said that while it does sometimes fly into the city for demonstrations or events, the company has to file extensive records with the Federal Aviation Administration to do so. The owner of the company said that she wishes the man a speedy recovery, but reiterated that he, quote, did not jump from an airplane operated by my business.
So when I heard this story, I wondered if this guy was a base jumper.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that. I was wondering the same thing, but...
Huh.
Does Cleveland have buildings that are tall enough to base jump off?
I'm not familiar.
I have no idea. All right. A guy named Shin Tae-il, known as the infamous Angry Korean Gamer, set his crotch area on fire as a penalty for losing a, quote, Fall Guys game following suggestions of his viewers.
Man, they take that stuff seriously.
The deal was for him to set his private parts on fire for 5 seconds if he did not come in first place for a particular round.
Why make that kind of bet?
So he did. Well, because he felt that he was a badass. At around the 3-hour-and-15-minute mark of the said live stream, viewers saw the gamer strip down to only his white shorts, pour lighter fluid all over his privates. On his first attempt, the gamer set the lighter fluid on fire, causing him to scream and jump in pain. Unfortunately, the whole ordeal lasted for only around 3 seconds, which fell a little short of the imposed penalty. Tae-il then began pouring more lighter fluid on his crotch, and he reset his timer to properly accept the penalty. On his second try, which was also the last, the gamer again fell short of the required 5 seconds, but for completely understandable reasons. Viewers saw Tae-il scream in pain once again after his crotch area was enveloped by a relatively larger fire, which also burned some of the hairs on his stomach. He was visibly
in stomach
agony, spent quite some time sitting on the floor off camera. After fulfilling his viewers' request, he then sat down on his chair while holding to his body what appeared to be a cold compress before he ended the live stream. A lot of his viewers, of course, were shocked that the YouTuber actually did this dangerous dare. Some, however, reportedly impressed. But he ended up going to the hospital, and he said he suffered from second-degree burns.
Was it directly on his junk?
I guess so.
Oh, man.
I really don't.
Unpleasant.
One last story, and it involves fire as well. A grass fire in Montana that scorched the bottom of Ravalli Hill Sunday afternoon was caused by an electrocuted bear falling from a power pole.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Oh, man.
The fire was reported around 2 p.m. The fire quickly was put out. It's believed to have been started when a bear climbed a power pole and was electrocuted and, I guess, set on fire and dropped down to the ground.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Viewers sent photos of a helicopter dropping water on the fire. And there you go.
I should not have done that.
That is what I have.
It happens periodically, though.
the bizarre fowl for you. The flaming bear?
Bears, eagles. That's why they'll put those perches above
right.
high tension wires so that the birds will be drawn to that. They're drawn to the tallest portion of a pole or something.
Right, right.
So that keeps them from landing on those wires.
Interesting. All right, and that's what I got in the B-file. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment or two. Don't forget, as I said just a second ago, that we have a Word of the Week prize this week. Only three letters long since we're here today, tomorrow, and Friday, and that's it. It's to see Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
He's performing live on Sunday, Citizens Bank parking lot, and you could end up having a carload, four people all together. Keep track of the letters at the end of the show. We'll give you the more details, and we're hosting that event, too. Back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
By the way, Casey, a quick text here says, hey, Casey, saw your Sunset Lake pic. Is Rita's open? They have great breakfast sandwiches.
Oh. Yes, Rita's is open. And
this isn't Rita's Water Ice.
No. Okay. It's Rita's, just a little corner store on New Jersey. No. Yeah, New Jersey. And I think maybe Atlanta. Whatever. But yes, they're open.
Casey took me by Sunset Lake. I was down the shore. My family and I went down there just for 2 days. And so we went to Casey's neighborhood.
How'd you like it?
It's beautiful. It's excellent. So he took me by Sunset Lake, which I had never been by, and that's gorgeous.
It's a great spot to go and yeah. watch the sunset. And they got like a nice little park and set up, and people will go there and watch the sunset. And, you know, definitely, you know, crowds show up, but it's not overcrowded, you know, especially at this time when people are trying to avoid, you know, mass gatherings or whatever. And it's just a great spot to watch the sunset over the lake and the marshes and everything.
Is that considered Wildwood Crest or is that considered Wildwood?
No, that's Wildwood Crest. So everything that is south of basically Cressy Avenue is Wildwood Crest.
Cressy is the monster that is supposed to live inside the lake, right?
Exactly, yeah. So
Nessie.
Oh, so Cressy to basically up to like 26th Street is Wildwood proper. And then 26th all the way down to Anglesey is North Wildwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real quick, speaking of the shore, I want to thank Eustace Mita over at Icona Resort Avalon. Big, he loves our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just want to thank him and the staff and their hospitality at Icona Avalon. I had never stayed there before.
They have three resorts. Avalon, they have one in Diamond Beach, which is Lower Township, and then another one in Cape May. Yeah. Really, really beautiful resorts.
Do you think you would, you think you could be a down-the-shore kind of guy?
I don't know. It's a little, since I live up off the Northeast Extension, it's a bit of a hike.
Yeah.
But the advantage of my situation is that we get done fairly early,
right.
work on Friday, and getting down there, I might be able to avoid the bulk of the really heavy traffic, because that's my big concern, is hitting that traffic on the way.
And real estate's never been cheaper down there, right?
Oh, my God.
Dude, Avalon is insane.
Not just Avalon. I looked all over the place just for the hell of it. Casey's been for years trying to get me to buy a place down the shore.
Just on my street, right next to me.
You guys can watch the sunset all the time together.
Just right next to me so we can have coffee in the morning and watch sunset at night and just hang out all day.
And so we've been flirting with the idea of a vacation home. And so while we were on vacation, I also looked up, I went the other direction, Lake Wallenpaupack, which is an easier drive for, it's about the same distance to, well, it's 2 hours, but anyhow, it'd be easier. And right now, everybody in the world
right.
is buying vacation homes if you have the means to do so.
Because you're not traveling.
Because you're not traveling.
You pick your locked place.
Interest rates are low.
Right.
And people have jacked the prices of houses especially vacation homes, I mean through the stratosphere. Once again, I've chosen the absolute wrong time to look into something like this. And it's
sure.
Just, oh, my God. We just sticker shock, man.
Like that sex club you invested in in February.
Yes. Not a good time.
Not a good time.
But just for like poops and giggles, because he was staying in Avalon, I was like, oh, let me look up some Avalon houses. Then
what's the going price?
Well,
the average?
I sent Preston a nice beachfront property. It was only $8
million. Oh, my gosh.
You can't find anything. Cheap. So you start on, you go on like Zillow or Realtor.com.
Just quickly.
Redfin or whatever. Yeah.
Are we talking standalone or like duplexes or what?
Anything.
It doesn't matter.
Anything
it
with doesn't rooms. Matter. Anything with
anything
rooms.
Anything with rooms.
So it and on Avalon, just for the hell of it, no way I'm going to buy an Avalon. I just don't have enough money.
Right.
And so just for the hell of it, I started inching up the minimum price on these search features on Zillow. You know, start with,
right.
Okay, let's start at $500,000.
Empty lot.
Let's go to $600,000. Nothing. $700,000, nothing. Yeah. $800,000, nothing. $900,000, nothing. $1,000,000. Nothing.
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 Nothing for $1,000,000.
For $1,000,000.
Well, okay, so
for sale. What, in Avalon.
Were you looking for, hang on though, were you looking?
No criteria.
No criteria. So you weren't looking
internal
for a
plumbing?
Single family home, not number of bedrooms, nothing.
Okay. Because the most affordable houses in Avalon are the ones that
are the ones near you.
No, that are the ones that aren't actually like single family homes or multifamily homes or
are they?
Condos or townhouses.
They found nothing.
Yeah. But I'm saying most affordable. I'm not saying actually affordable. I'm saying most affordable.
Okay, so I get you. They're all off the charts.
Yes, Wildwood and is the of all the beach towns, I think the most affordable. And I also think it's the most bang for your buck because in Wildwood, there are less duplexes.
Let me ask you, do you think as the season passes, as we go through August and finish out the remainder of the summer, I don't think it's going to change price wise. I think people are going to are thinking the long game. You know, obviously, things will pass eventually with the coronavirus, and we'll get move along. But it's going to be changed in a way that I think is going to make people think maybe I'll just do this now. So I don't see the prices coming down anytime soon. Do you?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I hope not. Yeah. You know, I hope that the prices remain to.
Would it be great if they bottomed out?
Yeah, I just completely bottom out.
I was looking at graphs of like, all right, here's what this household for in 2014 and 15 and 16 and 17 and so on. And you see the graph. Do what little graphs do? They go a little up, little down, a little up, little down, a little up, and then. From 6 months ago to now, Steve, they just shoot to the top of the page. And it's just like, I'll never, oh, woe is me.
Yeah,
I'll never be able to have a vacation home. Way.
I ride my
bike.
And
by the way, I had to remind myself of that. So we were looking at these places at Wild and Pawpack, and we found this place you really wanted to do. Blah, 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 blah. Ended up not coming together. And I was just like really bummed out for a day. And a little voice in my head literally goes, "Wah, you can't find your vacation home, Preston. It must be terrible to be you."
That's what my mother always used. Yeah. Why don't you tell us how hard it is being you? But listen, you're doing something because you want to.
It's for the family.
Yes, and there are countless other people that you do it. It's a common thing to do in this area to get at least a what are the rental prices like? I assume they're commensurate.
Well, so that's a point I wanted to make. But my home down there is not necessarily a vacation home. It is. I mean, we use it for vacation.
It's a brothel.
No, it's our retirement home. That's where whenever we retire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I would much rather buy my retirement property now rather than whatever it's going to cost 30 years from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or 20 years from now. Who knows how old I'm going to be when I get to retire. But the idea was let's make this purchase now. And as I ride my bike through these little towns, and I can't help but think, I'm like,
hey,
wow,
Casey,
there are so many rich people out here. Like, how are there that many people that can afford these houses? We're talking tens of thousands of houses. Or maybe more. I have no idea because they're so densely populated. I was like, wow, man, there's a lot of rich people out there.
It's pretty wild. And it goes against logic, I would think. You know, listen, there's serious problems in the world. People are making less money. A lot of people out of work. You'd think prices would come down. They've shot through the roof.
No.
All right. Well, anyway. I was just happy because on my way home, I now have enough drivers in my family where I didn't have to drive.
So you could cry in the back seat.
I could cry in the back seat, which is wonderful. And I let my son drive. No, but it got me to thinking that that story we had a little while ago of the grandmother who set the grandson on the lap, 13 years old, which, by the way, a 13-year-old is a pretty good-sized kid usually, sitting on your lap.
Yeah, the grandmother's driving. 58, the grandson's 13, sitting on her lap while they're driving.
Yes.
If you're 13, I mean, it's wrong on every level.
You shouldn't be doing it. But you shouldn't also, you're just probably too big to be, we've passed the point of sitting and driving on the lap.
Yeah.
And ended up running over five people in the process of it. How did you learn to drive?
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad took me out. My mother took me out a couple of times. My dad was good. He could be short-tempered, but he was good. But it was predominantly my dad. We went to a industrial park and drove around. And
were you 16 or?
I was. We started when I was 15, a little bit of practicing. And then when I got my learner's permit, we went hardcore and did the deal.
I've actually talked to a few people in the past couple of years who have taught their children to drive even before they were 15. And at first I thought, well, the only thing that really held any sort of like weight with me was, oh, I need to teach them to drive just in case there's an emergency, right? And they're the only one that can get so-and-so to a hospital, right? That's the only thing that actually, they're like, no, we just felt like they should.
Is there a number you can call?
Yeah. Yeah, right? But I see them driving around the cemetery. That because there's like little roads and stuff like that.
Oh, teaching people to drive?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'd take somebody around a cemetery.
14, 15 years old.
Because you veer off the road a little bit and you're running over tombstones.
You can only drive so fast there too, right? So you've got to go 10 to 15 miles per hour. There are little roads and side streets.
Cemetery.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that because there's actually like you could say, hey, stop at this intersection. Because when you go to a parking lot.
Stop at this funeral.
Well, when you're at a parking lot, you're just kind of like driving with nothing around, and your parent may say, like, hey, pretend like there's somebody and make a left turn, and you're not really, there's no actual road. So I like a cemetery.
Cemetery.
Wait, no, I don't
know. There's a procession coming now.
Yeah, slow
remember,
down.
They have the right of way, their lights are flashing.
Honk your horn.
Right.
I'm
making a left.
I said the risk versus reward is not great enough.
And if it works out poorly, you're right where you're going to need to be buried.
By the way, have you guys ever accidentally pulled into a wedding, or I mean a funeral procession?
I hate it.
Not just having one that you're waiting to go by, but you don't realize it's a funeral procession.
I did.
And there's a little gap, and you pull in, you're like, oh my God,
uh-oh,
I'm actually in this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it occurs to you, what's with this effing traffic?
Yeah.
Why are they going so slow?
Yeah.
And, actually around here, it happens quite frequently because we have a large cemetery right down the road here.
So my question, though, is sometimes, you know, most of the time, they will have the right of way going through a red light.
Right.
And you are not necessarily aware. If there's no police escort, you're not necessarily aware that that's what's going on.
I always thought that was a liability.
Like the D-bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. But, Preston, you raise a good point. What better way to learn how to drive than driving along with the funeral procession?
Sure.
Because you can get out on the road.
You get to run all the lights.
You don't have to put your sign up that I'm a student driver.
Have you ever been in a funeral procession on an actual highway?
Oh,
yes.
That scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Long Island Expressway.
We've gotten separated from it.
Yeah.
You know, and
like, I don't know.
You ended up at the wrong funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is this guy?
But yeah,
who's Morty?
We not that long ago, we were in one that was
on a highway.
I had to get onto the Blue Route.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. So obviously, not to go off on a tangent here, but with those funeral processions, you get the thing, the magnetic thing you put on the car, your blinkers are going. And that's more for residential going through lights, say like going down City Line here or whatever. But on the highway, you just have to kind of hang together. You're not afforded any extra consideration on a highway.
You have to keep up. I mean, that's just straight up. Like you,
you know, it's, everyone can go 100.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you got to put the flashers on.
You have to put the flashers on.
But you got to keep the group together. You have to, you got to, as I say to my sons when they were learning driving, like, close that gap. Close that gap.
I hate that. Oh, okay.
If you're following somebody, close the gap.
I can't stand. I like when I'm, I'll follow you. Oh no!
Yeah, I know.
Don't follow me. Yes.
And guess
don't
what?
Now I have to constantly be looking back.
Yeah.
And you're going to slow down for that yellow you should have just gone through, aren't yeah. you? Every goddamn time.
You got a phone? Does it have an app on it?
Use it.
Put the address in there. And don't follow me.
If I'm turning right, so if you're following me and I'm turning left, I'm making that turn because I have made the judgment that you can make the turn as well, okay?
Yes.
So if I've made this turn, make the goddamn turn as well, right? Because now...
But you always have to consider...
Now I got to
pull
over.
And I am very considered that.
Yeah.
I stay in the slow lane unless I have to pass. And I make sure there's enough room to pass and all of this stuff. And you're like, oh, my God, just use your GPS.
And by the way, going back to the original conversation, I learned to drive by myself because there was... I used to... When I went to Mass in high school... When I went to Mass in high school, I would get dropped off. And I would act like I was going into Mass, and then I would just kind of hang outside the church. And there were a couple other riffraff that would hang outside the church as well. And one of those riffraffs would just hand me his keys, and I would just go drive around the neighborhood.
Hey, you're not so much into this guy thing, I am.
Wait a minute. So the riffraff you're speaking of had a driver's license and a car?
Yeah, the riffraff was 4 years older than me.
There's always a seamier group of people hanging outside the church.
Well, so... You had different levels of riffraff, right? So some of the riffraff would go and stand in the back of the church, right? And we were like, I'm not sitting down.
Back of the church riffraff.
Yeah. And then you had me and some other people who would hang outside of the church smoking cigarettes.
Encouraging illegal driving.
So this guy, he would like, yeah, here, you know, take, I wish I could remember. It was like an Oldsmobile. A light blue, gigantic boat of a car, and he was like, here you go.
So just out of the blue, you're sitting there, and he says, would you like to drive
my car? No, I think I asked him first. I asked him first, and I got to tell you, maybe the first or second time I did it, I came cruising into the parking lot, and I went to go park behind this car, and I hit the gas instead of the brake, and I came within inches. I mean, just inches of slamming into this car.
There was no supervision? You were in the car by yourself?
All by myself. I was like 15.
15 years old?
Yeah.
And had you ever driven before?
Never.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go-kart.
Go-kart. All right. That's actually a pretty good entree into driving. Go-karts and golf carts.
Yep.
All right.
Wow. That seems rather dangerous.
I've seen a few texts come across of people who did learn to drive in the cemetery.
I don't like that at all.
I'd like to hear about that. 215-263-WMMR, if you were one of those that that learned to drive in a cemetery.
My guess is you're an incredibly slow driver if you learn to drive in the cemetery.
But Marissa's right. I mean, they do have streets, right? So rather than being in a parking lot...
We're on Death Lane right now.
And faking like...
Make a right onto rigor mortis.
And faking like you have to make a left into like traffic or whatever, you're actually turning onto another street.
I guess I use the high school because that has intersections and parking lots and all that stuff.
Industrial parks,
sure.
Because you have the there are streets and
yeah, but cemeteries aren't that busy. They're really not that busy. You might like
that cemetery's hopping.
Well, my cemetery's hopping. St. Peter and Paul is a huge cemetery.
People are dying to get in.
Yeah, it's all the rage. And you might have, like, maybe three burials going on at the same time.
Man, they're rack them, stack them, and pack them.
Yeah,
there's hours for cemeteries, like Saturday mornings during the week. Because it's funny you said that there's a lot of times when I was like, I rarely run into a cemetery because I guess there's not that many funerals at, like, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, they discount them. They go off hours. I think I don't know how it works, but I know that I see a ton of them in this general area.
That's a good question. Are there regular cemetery hours?
Well, you figure, funerals are usually morning.
Yeah,
either early or
don't they have
late
a slot
morning
in the door if it's after hours?
Yeah, they are usually in the morning. You're right.
Slide the coffin through the door.
Hang on. Let me get a couple of first time drivers here. I'm going to go to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hello, you guys. Work.
Oh, yeah, thanks, work, dude. What's up?
Not much. I learned to drive at a really, really young age. I mean, when I was 3 years old, my dad had me on his lap to drive around. My dad wasn't the kind of guy that would follow too many laws and just do whatever he wanted. So we were down at the Spectrum. I was 11 years old. It was an Aerosmith concert. Him and his buddies like smoke angel dust. So they would do that.
What? Wait. Hey, just back on a little bit. Yeah, you were smoking angel dust?
They were.
Oh, they were.
Not with me. I wasn't. I was only 11. So
you don't do that.
I was driving.
Yeah.
I was driving. I was 11. I couldn't be smoking angel dust. Come on, get real.
Okay.
But yeah, there's countless stories. I'm going for days. Me driving at a very young age. I'm 36 now. I drove in a blizzard in '93, so I was 10 years old. My dad's pushing us up the block. We're stuck. I mean, I'm driving. I mean, there's so many stories.
Down by the sports complex, I think that's another place. What you're looking for, that's why I sort of bristle at the notion of a cemetery. You're looking for the least amount of things you could potentially collide with.
Mike, we just lost him. I wonder if his dad was still alive smoking angel dust and having his 11-year-old drive or not. I'm going to go to Lauren. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Gadzooks to you, Lauren. All right, so you did learn to drive in a cemetery?
I did. It's actually almost like a family tradition. My mom learned to drive in a cemetery, too, by her friend Tommy.
Same cemetery, Lauren? Which one was it?
No, it's actually, I forget the name of it. I think it's, I live up in Feasterville, so I think it's King David Memorial Park or something like that.
Okay.
No, she went to drive in a Philly cemetery. I don't know which one that was.
All right.
The Philly cemeteries have the angel dust, so that's why.
You know, her philosophy is the worst thing you're going to hit is a tombstone, so nobody's going to get hurt, right? So I learned how to reverse, I learned how to drive, and all the paths are really narrow, so you have to be really accurate with how you drive.
And I guess in a memorial park, too, it's the same. They don't have the big headstones, they're just the flat ones, so you could drive all over those.
Right over there, no problem, yeah.
You wouldn't have any real problem with your car.
Yeah, wow. Nothing like
that. Yeah, no problems really like that.
Doing donuts over tombstones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing, honestly, it wasn't really that bad. I think that, honestly, when I have kids, I'm going to teach them how to drive in a cemetery, too.
Really? Okay. All right. Let me ask you one quick question, Lauren. Would you consider yourself a slower driver? Are you a more cautious driver because you learned in a cemetery?
Absolutely not. I've gotten into a few accidents. But I will say that I do think it's helped me learn how to drive through Philly better because Philly has a lot of narrow roads.
Oh.
I feel like I've learned how to navigate, especially, the near Broad Street and stuff. All the side roads are really, really narrow.
All right.
Okay.
I didn't think about that point.
Thanks, Lauren. Yeah, because they're usually pretty narrow paths that you have to drive to.
And you got to negotiate the mourners.
It helped her, cope with loss, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. You were seeing it as you're driving. You learned that the repercussions of driving unsafely could be your own death.
Let me go to Jen. Jen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Carson Daly is a tool.
Wow.
Very old. Very old school.
You.
What's up, Jen?
My dad is a former police officer, and he taught me how to drive his Ford F-150 pickup truck in a cemetery. And to Lauren's point, they're already dead, so I can't hurt anybody.
Oh, my God. Well, let me ask you, did he specifically say to you, the best place to learn is a cemetery? And did he give a reason, or was that just the most convenient to where you were?
So where I grew up, we actually, my parents lived right down the street from the largest active cemetery, actually the oldest active cemetery in the United States, Eglinton Cemetery in South Jersey.
Wow.
And it's huge. Yes, it's really big. They have different mausoleums. It's been around since the late 1700s.
Okay.
So it's lots of winding roads, trees, and everything else.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Parallel park there.
Yeah.
And I can parallel park like a beast. And my first car was a Buick LeSabre, and I can parallel park that thing like no problem.
All right.
I mean, honestly,
driver. Thanks, Jen.
Learning to parallel park between tombstones is probably a good skill.
I hate cemeteries. I can't stand them. I just the thought of all those corpses weirds me out.
They make you uneasy? Yeah, they make you uneasy.
Yeah. But as a kid, we used to go to the cemetery all the time.
Yeah.
To play?
To feed the ducks because they had a pond. It was out by my grandparents.
Zombie ducks.
They had a pond that was filled with ducks. And we would take bags of bread and we'd go out there and it was our thing. Can we go feed the ducks? And we would go to the cemetery. It was just we'd just go spend time there.
I like historical cemeteries and they're.
Well, that's
different.
That's a little different.
For me, one of the weirdest cemeteries is the cemetery right next to Bob's. The diner in Roxborough.
Oh, yeah. That one seems like a haunted house cemetery.
You're sitting there having your tuna melt and looking at buried bodies. I mean, right out the window.
Yeah.
I've sat there.
And the tuna melt wasn't even that good.
It wasn't that good.
It wasn't worth it. And their breakfast is delicious.
I'm sure that everything else on the menu, I've yet to find a good diner tuna melt. Anyway. That's another story. I'm going to go to...
God damn it.
I'm going to go to Michelle.
Yet he still tries.
Hi, Michelle. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches. Hey. Good
Delco. Hey.
Yes.
What's up, Michelle?
Hey, so I'm one of six kids, and my dad taught all six of us in the cemetery across from O'Hara. And he always said, the only reason I'm here is because there's stop signs and the people are already dead. You can't go wrong.
It's a big cemetery.
It is a big cemetery.
Yeah.
That's I had no idea. We're looking at all the calls. It's cemetery after cemetery after cemetery.
Like, I understand. I really do understand. You know, I just don't understand taking anybody there to learn how to drive before they even have a learner's permit. Again, the risk versus reward to me is not worth it.
Agreed. Now they kind of take that stuff a little bit more seriously. Back in my day, you know, before you were 16 and before you had a learner's permit, I think the parents felt it would be a good idea to get a head start. But now kids are also waiting longer to get their licenses. A good portion that I encounter anyway are waiting past 16 and 17 to get their driver's license.
We talked about how there are a lot of kids who have no active desire to get their learner's permit or get their license. Like that was it. That was a pivotal moment in your adolescence, and now it doesn't seem to be such a big thing. And smoking angel dust.
Here, let me go to Rob. He is with the Union, the Fire Association.
That's the fire department down the street here in Bala Cynwyd.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Hey, Rob, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
No such thing. What's up, bud?
Hey, so we take the fire trucks when we're teaching our firefighters how to drive to West Laurel Hill down the street and drive the apparatus through there.
You're driving full fire trucks through the cemetery?
Yeah, yeah. And
okay.
A lot of great tight turns. And,
yeah, Rob, I've never
in a lot of trouble.
I've never driven in it. I drive by it every day on my way to work, but on my GPS it comes up. It looks like it has the twistiest, windiest turning lanes you're going to find anywhere in there.
Yeah, yeah, and you can definitely get yourself caught in a corner and then have to back up quite a ways too.
Okay.
Great practice for the fire apparatus for when we have to back out of tight spots.
Rob, when you get back to the firehouse, do you sometimes have to clean the corpses out of the axles?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely out of the tires at least.
I mean, I'm seeing the idea behind it.
Okay.
Because if the goal is to make you a precise driver, I always thought be away from stuff you could hit, but you're saying if you learn to drive in a more confined space, obviously with what you need to do with the trucks, it's going to make more sense. So now I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Rob, by the way, have you ever driven by an active funeral in the fire truck? And has anyone done the horn honking pull down arm signal for you as you're doing that?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Oh,
we
my God.
We try to go at off hours.
Yeah, you do that instead of the regular sound with the...
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Rob, does the cemetery, you guys have like an agreement to do that?
Yeah, they're great supporters.
Okay.
They've been supporters of the fire companies in Lower Marion Township for a great many years. So they're very welcoming to us.
Kudos to you guys if we're working. You know what? I wonder.
That's interesting.
Now I kind of want to drive. When I go to get my manna pies, I go over to the cemetery over here. And, you know, the manna has before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They just set up in front of the...
They bury them with the bodies. What they do is right in the where they have the wake, the actual deal there. But you can drive around. And there are, it seems to be, miles of curvy roads with stop signs.
Right.
So what everyone's saying does make sense.
Yeah. Do you guys... All right. So what is it called? Is it called like a... Not a farmer's license. Is it called a farmer's license?
I don't know.
People on farms are driving at like 14 years old.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I've never heard of a license for that, but yeah, my when I was a kid, my friend Bubba, I lived in South Carolina. They had, you know, acreage, loads of acreage, like 50 acres worth of land. And he would take, and his dad had all these, you know, piece of junk cars and stuff like that. They were kind of...
Why wouldn't you?
They were very rural.
Yeah.
And we would take at like, I was in like fourth, fifth grade.
Oh, my God.
And get behind the wheel of a truck. With an on the column.
Three on the tree?
Three on the tree, manual transmission, and we would drive that thing around. That's why kids out in bum F, you know, South Carolina become race car drivers.
Yeah, that's how NASCAR came about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we used to do that, man.
That's crazy.
We didn't have any farmer's license, though, or anything along those lines.
I think you're talking in an unofficial, right? There's no. You don't go fill out documentation for. I think you're saying
if you're on the farm, you can drive.
Somebody texted in and said farm tags. I have heard of farm tags before. Now, I don't know if that means you can be 13, 14
years old. It's a skin situation a farmer gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being out in the sun too much, you get farm tags. Interesting question with our guest coming up, Joe. Is he on a...
He shouldn't be on a tour.
All right. I want to go to one more call, and then we're going to have to take a break, but I want to go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, bitches?
Yo, bitch. What's going on, Jesse?
Cemetery driving 101. I learned to drive at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, which is right on Cheltenham Avenue in between, like, Mount Airy and the Montgomery County border.
Okay.
And my dad taught me stick there. At least he thought he was teaching me how to drive for the first time, because I was kind of like Casey. I was one of those church parking dwellers.
You hung out with those...
The riffraff
outside the church, yeah.
I just wanted to add, it is, you're out there in the element, you know, there's like, the elements are there. Like, you have the road, it's a little smaller road, like that one caller said. I honestly feel like I'm a really good driver. I drive a little fast, but, like, I'm good because of it. And I taught my brother to drive there, and to be completely honest, when I'm out on my motorcycle, sometimes I'll just cruise through the cemetery parking, just, like, going slow, but just... cruise through there and just kind of remember.
My fries are done. I think what the deal is that I see it now. I wonder if the cemeteries themselves sort of bristle at the idea of people coming in and practicing in a place where you're supposed to be contemplative and, you know, hanging with your deceased loved ones.
Well, the other thing is there's not people crossing the street. There's not cars. You know, you're not really going to.
That's true.
Danger. And someone's kind of. You know, I'm not by myself. My dad was there. If someone was coming, you know, he's like, all right, pull over, you know, that kind of thing.
And so, you can kind of avoid, like, if you see a funeral procession or a burial going on, you can see that and maybe not drive past that and turn.
On the grass and pass it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Light him up, son.
I saw my brother there, and he's a really good driver, and we owe it to cemetery driving.
Okay, nice. All right, Jesse, thanks, man. I was not aware of that. Of that situation.
Why aren't there driving schools that advertise you get a cemetery course?
By the way, Casey, here's a text from somebody who says, and I'm seeing a number of things come in that says, you can get a farmer's driver's license at the age of 15 in New Jersey. Farmer tags are for your vehicle. They have nothing to do with the driver. Farmer tags exempt you from paying highway use tax.
So there's a legitimate... learner's permit that you can get if you live on a farm.
Well, I don't know.
And I think you can only drive on the farm. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
15
years and up for farmer tags. Have to be on farming business while driving. Car include air brake trucks too.
What about a cemetery license?
I don't know. We have to hear. I don't know.
I can only drive in cemeteries.
Wow, interesting. Okay. Well, anyhow, bottom line is. Don't sit on your grandmother's lap and while she's drunk and you're 13 years old because you'll end up running over five people. That's what happened in Tennessee. We were doing that story in the Bizarre File.
And don't smoke angel dust while driving around the spectrum.
Yeah, don't let your dad smoke angel dust while you're driving at 11 around the spectrum. Thank you for your calls. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment or two. Comedian Joe List is going to be joining us. We'll get in some other stuff as well. So stay close because we will not be gone long. Hey, gang. Obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for President Steve Blood Drive is a go, but it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be three donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for President Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So our next guest comedy special, the title says it all. It is Joe List, I Hate Myself.
What else do you need to know?
You don't need to know anything else. Other than the fact that it is now available to stream anytime, and it is Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube channel. You'll find it. Please welcome Mr. Joe List to the show. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I appreciate it.
No problem. We don't hate you, by the way. I know you hate yourself, but we don't hate you.
Oh, I appreciate that. I need more people to like me. It's a mental disorder, but
just to offset it a bit, because you're doing so much self-loathing. But I think isn't that sort of that's the impression we have of a lot of comedians, and obviously we've had a ton of comedians on the show. Love stand-up comedy, we all do, but there's always that perception that there's a little bit of self-loathing that helps create great comedy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there is. There's a deep self-loathing, but also in a massive ego in every comedian. I always think about it. It's like when you're in a relationship and the whole time you're like, I don't know why this woman's with me. She hates me. She should hate me. I'm ugly. I fart. I pick my nose. I'm a bad person. And then when they break up with you, you're like, good luck finding someone better.
it's like the duality of your existence, because, yeah, you've got to have enough of an ego to get up on stage and say and think people are going to be interested in what you have to say. But I think comedians more than any other performer have that conflict going on.
Yeah, completely. I mean, like, I'll have it where I'm waiting to go on stage and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm 20 years in. I'm at the Funny Bone in Omaha, I think. And then I'm doing the show and someone's like, you stink. I'm like, what are you kidding? I'm headlining the Omaha Funny Bone.
Yeah. Dude, you look where I am. I know it's a weird thing, but it's true to so many of us where so we've been doing the show for years and I did stand up for a while myself. And no matter how, whatever level of success you achieve, anyone I think worth a damn always feels they're going to be on to me soon.
I don't belong here.
I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ray Romano had a great quote. He said, my whole career, I've just been waiting for the comedy police to show up and go, all right, pal, we're on you.
And
you're like, shoot.
You explore this a lot. You talk with other comedians. You have a podcast, which is Joe List's Mindful Metal Jacket. And you had Gary Gulman. Gary just recently, we've had him on the show many times. Love him to death. But he is, didn't realize, because obviously he's self-deprecating and all that stuff, but he deals with a lot. We had no idea.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, again, like we're talking about, Gary is 6'6", and my ex-girlfriend had a crush on him vocally while we were dating, which was weird because we're friends. And he's one of the funniest comics ever, probably my favorite comedian ever, and it turns out he has crippling depression, which if you can be 6'6" and handsome and hilarious and depressed, my God, what does a guy like me
have? Yes. Now we're back to the self-loathing.
Now, does that depress you further, or what does it do to you,
Yeah, there's part of me that's like, oh, great, even he has it. But then you're like, wait a minute, I got crooked teeth and herpes and a big forehead. And, I got problems. I'm going to say that on the radio. Sorry.
Herpes? No, it's an interesting thing, but we all do it. I think it's a common... I think it's what... we're big fans of people who are self-deprecating, and Gary never comes across... Like with you, you're making fun of yourself. It makes people approachable. It's when it starts to, when you're by yourself and you're ruminating on that and you're hearing yourself tell you these things, where it becomes more problematic. And Gary has suggested that that's what he deals with.
Yeah. His humor is not too much, like you said, self-deprecating, but I guess afterwards. That's the strange thing about comedy, too, is the audience has no idea that, right before the show, we were crying in our hotel room. And then right after also.
All right. So Joe, then how does this mental issue, how does COVID impact that and the life we've been living over the past, 6-8 months, however long it's been?
In some ways it's weird. I've kind of... I don't want to say enjoyed it, but in some ways I was like, I've been preparing for this my whole life. As a neurotic guy, my whole life I've been like, the world's going to end, the whole economy's going to stop, I'm going to lose my job. And then it happened, and I kind of was like, I told you.
Vindicated. Yeah. I've been prepared.
Yeah, I actually was talking with somebody who has been suffering from, depression for a long time, and they said, surprisingly, and this is a couple of months ago, he was like, this whole thing that's been going on has been like,
I don't want to say soothing, but like it put him in a better mental state.
Is it in a way
bizarre, man?
Is it in a way validating the sort of suppositions that people, you know, like the things that you tell yourself, like Joe, you know, when you. We liken it to, you know, people who are preppers who are like, it's going to come. And that's Lou at work. He's got a bomb shelter. And then obviously we're not, you know, it's not a nuclear war, but it's certainly unpleasant. And it sort of validates what they've been thinking. Do you think that's an aspect of it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think that's probably part of it. But also it's sort of just this, for me, what's helping me is this idea that my worst nightmare has come true, that everything stops and the whole world economy is on edge and there's this infectious disease spreading and killing people. And I'm like, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Like, the worst thing that could happen has happened. I'm like, I don't know. Still watching hockey and doing
yes!
comedy shows.
Yeah, that's the key. I tell people the ability to compartmentalize, to be that, you know, that, yeah, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but man, the sandwich is good. Yeah,
right, exactly. I mean, I have a wife. We make love, and there's a couch to sit on. You know, this it's okay.
Exactly. I can work with this. Yeah.
So you're getting out on the road right now. A couple of weeks ago, you did a show actually in our area in Royersford. And so, are you getting out and touring on the reg now?
Not really. That's sort of the only real show I've done. New York City has a bunch of outdoor shows. I'm still not doing indoor shows for now. I don't know. I don't want to. Some people do them, and then online, everyone's like, this guy's a fascist son of a whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, Jesus. So I'm sticking with outside, but that show in Royersford, which is a hard word to say, that was like one of the best shows I've done in a long time, removed from COVID. It was just a killer show. They had like a beach set up, and there was 200 people there, and had fans, and they were hot.
Well, we call it ROFO, by the way. So you don't have to say Royers Ford anymore. You could just call it ROFO.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, ROFO is terrific. But it almost, I've done some shows overseas for the troops in Iraq and Kuwait, and it feels similar to that in that the audience is like, thank you so much. We need this. Oh, my God. And so it's like doing comedy in a war zone. Everyone's so grateful. So it was pretty great. So I'm hoping there's more outdoor shows like that pop up, or some kind of vaccine, or just people stop being mean to comics that do shows indoors. Whatever comes first.
Joe, I have so many questions about these outdoor shows because I live near the comedy clubs here in Philadelphia, and I would love if they just like closed down Sansom Street and did one, because they're doing that in New York and they're just doing them like on rooftops or streets. But I wonder, like, are you guys watching what you're saying because all the neighbors are around, or is it just like full on comedy set? I know Big J did a set, and I was thinking, you know, if you just hear Big J's set coming through your window at 2 a.m., like, that's pretty vulgar and crazy. Is there any, like, you know, bad things happening?
Yeah, it's weird. So I did a show last night in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, in a park. And I personally have kind of cleaned it up a little bit at times, because there are people just like, this kid's like playing basketball over there, or like a woman with a stroller over here. And so it is hard to do graphic sex stuff. But some people definitely don't care. Like, we did a show in Central Park, and you're just yelling at people in the park, basically. And there was, like, one guy, like, the opener was just talking about, I don't even know, some kind of filthy thing, which I'm not opposed to.
But people
in the background being like, what?
I'm sure it's not the weirdest thing that's happened in New York.
Well, and there's a dynamic to all these different live shows that are going outside. You know, this weekend, Kreischer's coming in town. We're hosting his show. He's going to be at Citizens Bank Park. And it's one of those things where you pull him with your car and you stay in your car and everybody watches it. And I know how it must be, Joe, if you're a comedian and you see people that are leaving, and maybe it's not because they hate your act, you know, because they have to leave or whatever, but it catches your eye and you make note of it. How about when a whole car pulls out and pulls away and leaves, and you see the lights and everything? That's got to be a bit weird, too.
Yeah, my wife and I have been laughing about that so hard, because our friend Mike Vecchione, who's a Philly guy, and he did that show in ROFO, I think the first one, and there was a video of a lady leaving, and we thought the exact same thing, the idea of hearing the car start up, and then she lets it warm up.
Yeah, you can, as they say, Murph it when you're in like a Ford Bronco. I wanted to ask you about doing the research last night. I actually called up the special and watched the special, which is on YouTube on Comedy Central's YouTube channel, and I really enjoyed it. And you bring up something that we all deal with, and you've brought it up in your material before, but the inability to sleep on an airplane and air travel. And so as a comedian who tours and will eventually return to touring, how do you handle that when you can't get any sleep on a plane?
It's pretty brutal. I mean, I just don't sleep, or I just end up taking a nap, which is also embarrassing because I'll nap in the hotel and then just wake up and feel confused and strangely horny, you know. And it's pretty brutal, but I've had like horrible bouts of insomnia because I just have anxiety, and then the airplane. And my therapist helped me by saying, he's like, well, when's the last time you were put in an asylum because you couldn't sleep for like a month? And I was like, well, never. And he was like, well, there you go. And it was one of those things where I left and I was like, yeah. And then like a half hour later, I'm like, wait, that doesn't help me.
Yeah, right.
I'm just waiting for the moment I go into an asylum. Like, there's so many times I'll have a therapist say something and I'm like, that was perfect. And then I'm able to completely dismiss everything he said 10 minutes after I leave.
Have you ever talked to Birbiglia about, do you know him? Are you friends with him? Because obviously he's built a large chunk of his career on his sleep issues.
I know him a little bit, but I don't think I have it as bad as him. I'm not walking around in the streets half asleep or whatever he's got going on. But I eventually fall asleep after a couple hundred sleeping pills. But
that's all it takes.
Yeah, does melatonin even work for you anymore?
No, I never take melatonin. I've done CBD a couple times, which I don't know if that does anything. I'm like, CBD is so funny to me. I'm like a sober guy. I'm an alcoholic recovering.
Right.
And people are like, I'm a little nervous about taking CBD. These people are like, you got to take CBD. It's amazing. I'm like, I'm a little nervous taking it. I'm in recovery. And they're like, oh, it doesn't do anything. And I'm like, well, you just told me
yeah.
It was amazing. Which one is it?
Yeah, it's a split message.
Does it not do anything? Yeah.
There's a channel, I guess it's on our system here in Philadelphia, and they show old, you know, like Rhoda, and this channel's basically geared, it's not MeTV, it's another one that goes even deeper, and they sell, the commercials that run are for your Will mobility scooters and CBD oil, and so it's for, I guess, for joint pain and stuff like that.
Listen, I'm sober 8.5 years at this point now, and I won't touch CBD either, even though I know I'm not going to get high from it. It's just a little bit too close to the source, I guess. But I had asked about the melatonin because we got up too early in the morning, and if I get past a certain threshold of night, I'm like, oh, this is going to be terrible. So I have to take the melatonin, and so it's non-habit forming and all that sort of stuff. So
you're good to go on that.
I'm good to go on that.
All right, maybe I'll crush up some melatonin.
Yes, you definitely have to snort it.
Just snort it.
Or freebase it. You know, one of those.
Just for old times.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for that sense of nostalgia.
Wow. Hey, Joe, by the way, when and where were you able to put this comedy special together? Did it happen before the lockdowns, or how did you go about it?
Okay. I just looked it up. I was trying to remember when it was because I knew it was close. It was March 2nd, and then we sort of shut down, I think, the 13th or something like that. Okay. So it was pretty close before, but yeah, it was March 2nd. I shot it at the Village Underground, which is the Comedy Cellar, their like second club. And it was like a Monday night, packed, sold out the first show, and then like half sold for the second show, which I think we used bits and pieces from. And it was great. It was like this magical night, and I was like, I did it. That's the best thing I've ever shot, and I felt alive. And
it's really good. It's really good. It also captures for people who've been jonesing and missing that comedy club feel. The special will get you right back into that. It feels good. It's funny. It's a funny set, and it's something new because people are looking for new things to watch. And we've gone through a lot already, and this is fresh and new and funny. And I think people are going to love it.
Yeah, Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. So please check it out. And it's free. It's on YouTube. It's streaming. You can go watch it. So
Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube channel. No problem. So, Joe, hopefully next time we'll talk, we'll see you in person. That'd be nice, right?
Yeah, I would love that. I think I'm supposed to be there in, like, January or something, but I assume it's canceled. They just haven't told me yet.
Yeah, probably.
Well, let's... Never know. Maybe we'll be wearing hazmat suits. We'll get you in here.
It's called Joe List. I hate myself. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. It's good to talk to you. We'll see you soon. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care. Be safe.
Joe List, guys. Yay! Take care, my man. You be safe as well. So yeah, he did this that Royersford show, which I didn't know they were doing those until recently. A friend got in touch and said that. So that's something worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I have an email question from a listener.
What?
Okay. It's a little bit odd, and I have no idea if we will find someone to help this person out with this or not, but I thought it might be worth bringing up anyhow. This is from John Byrne, also known as JCB, and it says, Philly, Albuquerque, Baltimore. So I guess he's lived in all three. He's a Philly guy.
Okay.
But he says, hey, guys, please, please, please. Help me with your magical powers. One time when I was little, I went on a field trip somewhere, and I have absolutely no clue where the hell I was. But here's what I do know. This most likely would have been between 1983 and 1985 sometime. We arrived on a school bus.
All right.
I remember walking down a grass hill. Seemed giant at the time, but it was probably like 2 feet tall. At the bottom of the hill...
Are you having fun yet?
No. He was in Neverland.
Look at these llamas and circus animals.
Jesus.
I'm so glad you came.
No wonder he can't remember all of it.
Therapy will help.
No. Are you having fun yet? Everybody get on the train. Oh, my
Look
God.
Look at that, my own choo-choo train.
Wow. No. So he says, I remember walking down the grass hill. At the bottom of the hill, and this is where we get to the specific thing that he wants to know. If anybody, this sounds familiar at all to anybody.
All right, okay.
Please call us and let us know. Said, at the bottom of the hill, there was a miniature kid-sized town that you rode your big wheels around in.
Wow. I want to go to this.
He said there were buildings and intersections and stuff, stop signs and lanes, etc.
Yeah, Press, I read this email as well, and I immediately did a search online. I Googled because I wish I could.
And the fountains are filled with propofol.
I wish. I never went to a place like this. I wish I did. And I couldn't find anything on this, man.
All right.
So it's a sort of a kids-scaled town that allowed you to ride your big wheels around.
Correct.
On the streets. And maybe that may just be things that kids brought around, but...
Oh.
It sound... What?
And here comes the mayor of the town.
Hey, everybody. You'll never have to go to school. You'll never grow old.
Oh, no.
It's everything. And you'll never talk to the cops.
He's the mayor.
We don't have a police force.
Yeah. He said that there were buildings and intersections and stuff, stop signs and lanes, etc. He says it seemed to be about 9 or 16 square blocks from memory, but who knows?
And it's in this, so it's in this area? I'm confused at where thinks it
is. I'll continue on. He says, that's all I remember. It was a little big wheel village at the bottom of a hill.
Huh.
This would have probably been within a day's trip distance to the Philly or surrounding areas, I think. He says, I'm guessing I probably went to nursery school or kindergarten. Nursery school was at the Abington Y, and a kindergarten was at Fort Washington somewhere.
Preston, look at the text message board. People are answering, and it's, it seems like an overwhelming response about this place.
Mason's Mill Park. Warminster Community Park has a new one too. So Mason's Mill Park, Brynathyn.
No, Safety Town is the one.
Safety Town?
Well, look at all these Mason's Mill Park that are coming up.
Which is it?
Hang on, where do you see Safety Town?
Yeah.
Okay, people are texting in Safety Town. Phone lines are lighting up. We might be able to help out John.
Place.
I was intrigued.
Welcome to Safety Town.
I was intrigued by this because it actually sounds like a lot of fun.
I think I know what. So, growing up on Long Island, they had in Eisenhower Park, they had a miniature town scaled to kids that taught you about road safety and street signs.
Okay.
Where you could drive your bicycles and I assume your big wheels around. And maybe so Safety Town sounds like it might be a riff on that.
And I'm going to go to the calls. These calls are coming up. But I mean, I think I have somewhere stored away in the private little rooms of my mind somewhere.
No.
Of some place like this. Not exactly, but I look back on so fondly and go, was that even real? Because that was okay. So cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me
you ever seen my anus?
Let me.
Oh my God.
Excuse me? Do you mean your anus?
I mean,
the planet?
Look at the planet, yeah.
Oh, God.
Did I say mine? Why would I even say that?
It's called Uranus.
Exactly. I'm not good with this stuff.
Not my Uranus, Uranus.
My Uranus.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, hang on. Let me go to, I have Julie online. Hey, Julie.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome. So, Julie, so Safety Town?
Yeah, so I actually live in New Jersey, and our town runs it, and all of the elementary schools, they take a field trip there, and you take your bike, and you learn everything pretty much how to drive. But on your bike.
Oh, my God.
Then that's exactly it. Because, Julie, that's the same thing that was Eisenhower Park on Long Island had the exact same setup. It was a couple of blocks, and they had little faux buildings and, like,
Marissa.
Traffic lights and stuff like that. Is that what you remember?
Yes, it was exactly that. All our elementary schools go through it here.
Still?
Yeah.
Julie, still? They still do it to this day?
Not currently because of corona, but
no,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And it, you know, so turn your radio down. I can hear us in the background. It's probably confusing you a little bit. So Julie, but I mean, still, to, you know, within this modern era that we live in, kids still go to Safety Town and use it.
Yeah, I believe so. Within the past 5 years or so, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely Safety Town.
Interesting. Okay, thank you, Julie.
Some Marissa aspects just, are safe and some others aren't.
Marissa just pulled up pictures of it. This is so cool looking.
So I pulled up, I just typed in Safety Town, and suddenly it was like Warminster, Delaware, New Jersey, New York. So
it's got to be all
over the place. There are these little, like, Pleasantville-looking neighborhoods where you just get to, like,
Bartram's Gardens. What the hell? Bartram's Gardens making freaking candles, and they have this. Oh, man.
What's Bartram's Garden?
It sucks is what it is, Preston. I don't know. It's some historical place in West Philadelphia.
Oh, you're saying that they took you on a trip to there when you were a kid, as opposed to going to Safety Town.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, Preston, Marilyn, and Steve.
I love it. PMS, the day. All right, Ryan, what do you want to comment on?
Yeah, they have one of those at Mason's Mill Park in Huntington Valley. It's just like that. Building stop signs. You ride your big wheel around. I've been going there since I was a kid.
Wow. Okay.
I assume at a certain point you age out of it, right? Like when you're older,
you go there at night. You play manhunt. You climb on the building.
That's right. You're an international sniper.
I would definitely want to, because you're, as an adult, you know, these houses, you're about as tall as the houses are. It's like you're in the land of the giants. I mean, I would want to go and, you know,
walk around and pretend you're huge.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you all.
And start knocking buildings over and whatnot. Wow. Hang on. There's another one. Let me go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica. Good morning.
Hi, guys. You're welcome.
Thank you, Jessica. All right. So there's a Safety Town near you in Bryn Athyn, you were saying?
Yeah. It's Mason Mills Park. Same thing.
I wonder what Bryn Athyn Safety Town is like, because, you know, they have this. There's all the legends of Bryn Athyn and the founders.
The Pitcairns.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a different edge to the Safety Town of Bryn Athyn.
Right.
They actually have, like, mock-ups of everything in there, like little stores and stuff like that, libraries.
Welcome to Bryn Athyn Safety Town.
Thank you, Jessica. Bryn Athyn is an odd area, man. on the couple of occasions that I've driven through there, I've been looking around and I'm like, wow, this place looks really different.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see a sign that says you're in Bryn Athyn, and you're like, oh.
Where are you from?
Yeah, it's...
From Harleysville.
Leave.
It's very secret society-ish.
It is, yeah.
You get that feel when you're around Bryn Athyn.
Take him to the cornfield.
All right. Well, Safety Town. I'm glad that we
got
this up.
Got to be it.
Because this clearly, this is something that, that John was like, okay. He's like.
I must have been high.
Like, even he was questioning if it was legit or not. And so I think we brought back a little. Little kid magic to him. A little memory, if
Repressed
you will.
Memories.
Yeah. Repressed memories. That only deep therapy and electroshock therapy can make you remember. It's wonderful.
I wonder.
I'm looking at the picture of the houses here in this one safety town, and they've got sliding doors on the side of one of the houses, and one appears to have aluminum siding.
Yeah.
But I could see where you would definitely feel like a giant.
Yeah.
So I did a little research. It's a nonprofit organization, and they have 3,500 of these safety towns around the country.
3,500?
In 38 countries.
Okay.
Oh. How have we none of us have ever heard of it?
No, they definitely don't have them near me. And I guess maybe schools do take, field trips to those and have the kids go and kind of learn a little bit. It looks like they have their own vehicles, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them seem to have go-karts, and some of them you bring your own bikes.
Well, like manual go-karts. I mean, like...
Pedal carts.
Pedal carts. I don't think they give you one
with an engine.
3 horsepower.
This one's got a 350 in it.
That'd be fun. hang on a
second.
It's
like a Fast and Furious.
It's about family. My name is Dom Jr. We can do some street race.
Race for too large. Yeah.
Too small, too slow.
Yeah. Let me go to, I have Andy on the line. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Andy. How are you, brother?
Andy! Oh, fan-freaking-tastic, man.
Right.
I grew up with Safety Town, and I thought it was only existed in my little town in Ohio.
And so, and it says here on my screen that your mother used to be, like, she ran the thing?
Yeah. So our safety town was like a 2 or 3 hour day camp, and you would go for the whole week, and you would learn about Danger Stranger, Mr. Yuck, all those basic safety.
What was Mr. Yuck? What was Mr. Yuck's deal?
Oh, Mr. Yuck, it was for like poisons and stuff. It was like this black stamp with this yellowish greenish ugly face on it, and he taught you about, you know, don't drink the ammonia or the bleach or the.
Wow.
You know, we probably should have had it for the Tide Pod kids.
Were there any other scary characters that were in Safety Town?
Do you consider McGruff the crime dog?
No, he was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
What about Mr. Nose Falls Off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there was all these different kinds of songs and stuff we would learn, like about the traffic light, and to this day I can remember a handful of them.
So these have been around for decades then, because obviously, judging by the time frame that we're talking about, and I was boned out of it because they came into being when I was too old to attend.
Andy, sing a little bit of one of those songs for us, please.
The traffic light song, red on top and green below, red means stop and green means go, yellow means wait. Even if you're late.
That you remembered, yeah.
Nice job,
more,
Andy.
More, more.
Nice
encore,
job, sir.
Encore.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
You too.
Take it easy.
Safety
this
town.
Is adorable.
Yeah. It's kind of, it reminds me a little bit like Storybook Land has some small domiciles like this where you feel huge.
Never been to Storybook Land, obviously, in a poor Safety Town.
Safety Town, well.
What about poor Safety Town, where there's exposed wires and gas leaks?
People sleeping in the gutter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got to be careful. All right, well, that was for John Clement Byrne, who it just was dying to know this. He said, please, please, please ask your listeners to help. Where the hell was I that day? What on earth was the weird big wheel land that I went to? What was this place? Was it just some dude's backyard? So, John, I think we cleared it up.
Yeah, man, that's very cool.
I was not expecting.
That's a good memory, too.
I was not expecting anybody to check in with information on that.
We thought he was smoking angel dust.
Well, maybe. All right, and then one last thing, and then we got to take a break. I got an email that is hoping that we would wish someone a happy birthday, a shout out.
Yeah.
And it says, hey, I wonder, this is from Shannon O'Connell. She says, you know, I get a shout out to my dear friend, Craig Ligons.
Oh,
man.
Monday, August 10th is his birthday. So it was just a couple of days ago. He said, I know you guys are off on Monday, so any day would be great. He's an amazing and talented man and has become one of my closest friends in the past year thanks to the show. And I'm so grateful to have him in my life. Thank you so much. You guys rock, Shannon O'Connell. So, Craig.
You doing a big one?
Yeah.
Happy birthday and a shout out. And don't forget about the Comic Book Guru's podcast that he does.
Yes. They took a little bit of a hiatus, obviously, with everything going on, but they're going back into production, is my understanding. So okay. That would be great.
Nice. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We have some stories that will amaze you. The Bizarre File is on the way next, so make sure you don't go too far.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Godsmack. Killers. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks. On 93.3 WMMR.
And as I had mentioned, Kathy, she is the focus of the most recent President Steve Daily Rush video. The title of the video is, You a Idiot. And the description says, this school year, every student will grab their parent by the face and say three special words, you a idiot. And you can now watch this video. It's available at PrestonSteve.com and is sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So, Kathy, a idiot. We are going to do the Bizarre File, and I got the stories for you right here.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Hers. Pick up a specially marked bag of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summerhers.com. Hers, forever good. Well, two blood-covered, chainsaw-wielding men emerged from the bushes of a popular park in Toronto on Sunday morning, where witnesses said they screamed at, followed, and even lunged towards strangers while revving their deadly tools. The Toronto police confirmed that two people were arrested and two others injured when a large group of people were in a physical altercation involving at least one chainsaw near Toronto's Cherry Beach.
So where did the blood come from?
I don't know. Police have yet to release the suspects' names, the charges, or the nature and extent of any injuries. Chainsaws were not used as weapons in the fracas.
Oh, well, that's refreshing.
An investigation of the fight is ongoing, which means that few other details are available for police. First-hand accounts of what happened have been spreading like wildfire on social media. One video gave interested parties their first good glimpse of the chainsaw-wielding men in action. In the clip, two shirtless Hi. Men are seen approaching a local windsurfing club. The bloodied men yell things as they approach people. Outside the club, with their chainsaws buzzing the entire time, one man can be heard yelling, "Who hit me?"
That's the eternal battle between chainsaw people and windsurfers.
Despite the fast and heavy police response, people who frequented the beautiful beach and recreational trail are expressing concerns over how unsafe the area
you know,
has become
Lou,
lately.
I'm concerned about the chainsaw maniacs that live in the woods.
Some are blaming the incident on a growing tent encampment or several encampments that exist not only near Cherry Beach but all over the city of Toronto amid global pandemic and homelessness crisis. A Louisiana woman got the fright of her life when a tree near her home exploded after it was struck by lightning.
Whoa!
I saw a video of this. And it's wild, dude, because number one, it's a big tree, and Steve, it explodes. It turns into splinters.
That's amazing.
It's home security footage. Sarah Ribardi unseemingly steps out onto her doorstep just moments before the blast. A bright flash, a thunderous crack cause her to duck and quickly retreat inside as the tree explodes, sending splinters flying in every direction. I mean, she could have been
I've
killed
gotta see this.
By this shrapnel flying at her. It's pretty wild. She said one step closer and it would have been seriously injured.
So she steps out and it's the neighbor's yard. The tree gets killed and the tree gets blown to bits, I should say. She came inches away from getting killed because a large piece of wood went flying right by her head.
And look at all that debris lying around. I mean, it's just...
What's the animal that goes running towards it?
That's a cat.
I don't know, but it runs towards the explosion. Which
I'll fix it.
Pretty wild, yeah.
I got this. Don't worry.
Yeah, so... local media reported several homes and vehicles were damaged in the incident, but no one was injured. She could have died from that easily.
Wow.
Here's a story out of Pennsylvania. State police in Somerset say a man was transported to Conemaugh Hospital Saturday after allegedly firing a shot through his finger while target practicing.
Was he aiming for his finger?
I don't know.
Because maybe he was successful then.
It's very small, and that might have been what he was trying to shoot. I don't know. Troopers say
I'm going to try to shoot my pinky.
He was trying to conduct a target practice at a private camp in Allegheny Township when he attempted to gain a better grip on the gun and unknowingly placed his left index finger in front of the muzzle.
How do you do that?
I guess he might have been lining his finger along the side of the barrel. I don't know. And he stuck it out too far. Authorities say the man fired a shot. It went through his finger, and the extent of the man's injuries are unknown. But,
I mean,
ouch.
Do you even tell anybody? Somebody saw it and probably came, no, it's okay, it's all right.
Yep. A family is laying down the law on their teenage son after they say he stole their Range Rover while they were on vacation and took it on a joyride. 14-year-old Angel Martinez said, I just wanted to drive, but I don't have a license, so I just took it. He said, I can wash the car, and I was like, I don't have anything to dry it, so I'm going to take it for a spin until it dries.
Well, he was just trying to come up with a creative way to drive it.
Well,
to dry it, I should say.
Angel was speeding in his North Phoenix neighborhood, disrupting his neighbors while his parents celebrated their anniversary in Las Vegas.
Well, it won't dry ride if you're not going fast enough.
Angel's family found out about the joyride after Phoenix police gave them a call, and their son had been in trouble a few times before.
He should have just gone down to the church.
So with no other options, that's where all the riff happened.
That's where the riff hangs out, yeah.
So with no other options, it was time to clean house, and that they did. He said, according to his father Roman, he said, we got back to the house today. His room is 100% empty, and we are giving all of his stuff away.
Oof. I saw a picture of him out on the sidewalk with his bed and his bureau and all his stuff up for grabs.
Oh my God.
He said, for hours, Angel sat on his bed with a sign that read, sorry, I stole my parents' car and was speeding. Clothes, television, the bedroom set, they were all given away for free. Angel's belongings went as fast as the Range Rover he was driving. Now, while he'll be sleeping on the floor or maybe the couch for the foreseeable future, it is a lesson learned. Angel said, it's kind of weird, but I do think it's a fair punishment.
So a punishment like that, I assume, would take, right? I mean, that's heavy duty.
I would hope so, man. Yeah. I mean, if you give all his stuff away, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Clothes, the whole deal.
It's not like they took away the Xbox for a month.
Right, exactly. Authorities responded to an apartment complex in Florida when an alligator wandered into a building and trapped some residents inside an elevator. Two deputies responded alongside a trapper when a call came in about an alligator inside a building at the Estero Park apartment complex. The sheriff's office said residents ended up trapped inside the elevator when they found the alligator blocking the door.
Still here.
Deputies responded and isolated the alligator until a certified trapper arrived and humanely removed the gator.
Still here.
The apartment complex community was
still here.
Extremely thankful for the deputies.
I'm still out here.
For the deputies' response. So, yeah, they were kind of cornered, yeah, and they didn't want to go.
Not going anywhere.
They didn't want to go anywhere, and so they stayed where they were. All right, and then one last story. Well-known acrobat and aerial performer Sam Panda, a female, was asked to leave the beach for violating the thong ordinance. And a video of her being handcuffed by police has gone viral.
I saw a picture of her in her thong. I don't know who would complain over that.
She's got a wonderful body.
Yes.
Both Horry County and Myrtle Beach governments prohibit thong bathing suits under an ordinance about indecent exposure on the beach. This law has been in place for years, and officers typically give a warning for the first offense. Sam Panda, originally from Pittsburgh, is well known for miraculously surviving a fall in Bali during a performance when she broke her neck in several places and damaged her spine. I vaguely remember this.
Well, nothing happened to her butt, clearly.
The fall was filmed, and Sam went viral by showing her strength and great attitude by smiling in a photo from the hospital bed. A video of Panda being handcuffed by a Myrtle Beach police officer and their lengthy discussion about her bathing suit was posted on her social media. She comments on the post, a woman called the cops on me because of my bikini. That's how this all started. After the ordinance was shown to Panda, she came into compliance and was permitted to leave the beach without further incident. Myrtle Beach police said officers were initially called for a report of two women who were wearing thong bikinis and a see-through top who were, quote, dancing and soliciting videos on the beach. When the officers arrived, they spoke with the women to advise them of the ordinance related to nudity. And so, yeah, it led to all that. And there you go.
That's what I have in the bizarre file. For
nice.
Right, thank you very much. We'll have more coming up tomorrow. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. Don't forget, we have a secret text word, and we are now going to get our winner. So, Marissa, give me a number caller for somebody who might know the secret text word.
Caller number 21.
215-263-WMMR. You heard her. Caller number 21. Let's see if you know the secret text word. We'll grab a random text word while we're breaking as well. We'll come back in a second with lesson question, trash, music, news, and more. Stay there.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we are looking for caller 21, secret text word. Caller 21 is John. That's who it is. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. I'll be doing better, and so will you, if you can tell me what the secret text word is.
Gopher.
Gopher is correct. Yes, you win, John. Hang on a second. We're going to get your information. We are going to give you a digital download of Caddyshack because they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of that movie. And also congratulations to our random texter, which is William Smith of Northeast Philly. Going to get the same thing. Don't forget, you can own the Blu-ray and digital movie now. Let's get you on board. Are there behind-the-scenes outtakes and things like that from the original? I'd like to see that. I know they did
an A&E documentary about Caddyshack.
I need to see that.
There's a ton of stuff.
Okay.
And it's really well done. And when you realize the movie, it was actually, you know, it was right after Animal House. They were operating on the high of all that. So all those principles were involved. And it was not a big success. I mean, it did okay.
Yeah.
But it certainly was not Animal House level.
Right.
I liked it from the get-go, but it had to sort of build up to its legendary status.
Like Three Amigos and a few of these others that came along, and they just kind of didn't take at the box office.
Animal House took instantly.
Right.
People just went nuts for it. Caddyshack, for many, was a discovered joy after the fact.
Yeah. All right, so we're giving that away. We are also going to give away now something else because we're going to do today's lesson question, and we have a chance for you to win The King of Staten Island, a digital download of that. Pete Davidson, you know, that whole thing, Judd Apatow.
Yeah, it's really good. We saw it.
So the question that I have for you about today's program is, what is the hottest sign of love gift the reject contestant brought to the new bachelorette?
Aww.
It wasn't a rose. It was something else. It was the sign of love gift the reject contestant brought to the new bachelorette. If you were listening earlier this morning, then you should know. And you should call right now. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to do trash while you call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what's up this morning?
Well, Zac Efron announcing he's leaving Los Angeles to set down roots in the more relaxed environment of Byron Bay, Australia. Efron says he actually always wanted to move to Australia ever since he saw The Sound of Music. Days after the death of beloved character actor Wilford Brimley, a handwritten note has been released that reveals he was at peace at the time of his passing. In the note, Brimley says he is more than ready to and, in fact, eager to die now that Courtney Stodden is back in the news.
God.
And finally, 60-year-old Sean Penn confirming that he married 28-year-old Layla George with a county commissioner performing the ceremony on Zoom. Penn says all of the tumult in the world has made him appreciate the simpler things in life, like people who were just born when he was 32.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. We shall see if someone has the answer to this question. What's the hottest sign of love that the gift the reject contestant brought to the new bachelorette? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Tracy, let's see if you were listening. What did he bring the new bachelorette?
It was a rat on a stick.
A rat on a stick. That is correct. Hang on a second, Tracy. For you, we have a digital download. The King of Staten Island, celebrated comedy director Judd Apatow and SNL's Pete Davidson, officially acclaimed, critically acclaimed heartfelt comedy, is now available to own on digital, and it's available August 25th on Blu-ray and DVD. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Oh. All right, we will start. We will start with Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam is
on.
Pearl Jam is offering fans a chance to download the band's August 8th. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things.
August, you doing it?
August 8th, 2018 concert at Seattle's Safeco Field as a pay-per-view broadcast. The show will be available through Labor Day weekend starting on September 4th at 8 p.m. The general public can access the show for $14.99 with the band's 10 club receiving special pricing. Rolling Stone reported that the 33-song career-spanning set featured numerous covers, including Neil Young's Throw Your Hatred Down and Rockin' in the Free World, which I think they play at every show.
I think they do, right?
I think that Nick had said that that's kind of the one constant. I think I remember him saying that. The Beatles' I've Got a Feeling, White Stripes' We're Going to Be Friends, Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, and Little Steven's I'm a Patriot, and a guest spot from Brandi Carlile on her song Again Today. Pearl Jam is known for completely changing its set list on a nightly basis. Mike McCready said that fans are able to respond to songs from the band's entire repertoire. He said, we're lucky in the sense that we can go out and play every night and play different stuff because we have so much stuff to play and people are receptive to it. There are fans that like their favorite record, you know, like their favorite record is No Code or their favorite record is Versus. And we're lucky in a way that people want to hear new music from us. At least that's my perception. Exactly. Looks like Nickelback will be making an announcement this Friday.
Oh, boy.
The band tweeted what appears to be an album or single cover with the heading Friday 8/14. Nickelback's last album was 2017's Feed the Machine, so the band could very well be announcing a new album. They had planned to celebrate the 15th anniversary of All the Right Reasons on tour this summer, but it was canceled due to the pandemic. They will, however, release a 15th anniversary deluxe edition of the album on October 2nd. This week, Metallica's ongoing vintage video series dubbed Metallica Mondays featured the band's June 13th, 2004 concert at Olympia Stadion in Munich, Olympia Stadion in Munich, Germany. Metallica were in the midst of its two-year tour behind 2003 Saint Anger collection at that time. So that one is the current one that is up. This is interesting. Dave Grohl posted a touching tribute to Trini Lopez on Twitter on Tuesday.
Do you think a lot of people remember Trini?
No.
I was very familiar with him because my mother used to listen to a radio station that was super easy listening, and Trini Lopez would constantly be played on the station.
The singer, actor, and guitarist passed away at the age of 83 from complications of COVID-19. And according to Grohl, the If I Had a Hammer singer helped shape the sound of the Foo Fighters from day one. And I had no idea about this. And the reason being, he said, he wrote, every album that we have ever made from the first to the latest was recorded with my red 1967 Trini Lopez signature guitar.
I didn't even know. Wow.
He said, it is the sound of our band and my most prized possession from the day I bought it in 1992. How about that?
So Trini Lopez would record a lot of live stuff, predominantly live stuff. And he and the, I forget who else, a couple of them did. But I didn't realize there was that sort of connection. We have two clips of Trini Lopez songs. I don't know if they'll strike a bit of recognition. Do we have them over there?
I'm looking.
If I had a hammer.
I remember him from the Dirty Dozen, Steve.
Yep, you're exactly right. He's in the Dirty Dozen.
A little moment where he plays guitar in that movie.
He's a good guitarist.
Yeah, real good guitar player.
I think Marissa's going to try and...
Okay.
You would... I think he did covers, a couple of covers that were very, well received. I mean, it's from a long time ago.
Well, it stated here, If I Had a Hammer, he wasn't the original singer of that song, was he? Okay. Or did he just play guitar?
He sang as well.
He sang as well. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because in Dirty Dozen, he sings a little bit, too.
If I Had a Hammer, that's kind of like...
If I had a hammer, yeah, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the hammer of freedom.
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you did one where you would bash somebody's
I'd beat you with the hammer.
I'd beat you with the hammer till you were dead.
Yeah.
Make you turn down your stereo, drive the hammer into your head, and dance in your blood, and I'd be so happy all over
this. It's a claw land. Hammer, right? So you could pry the skull.
Yeah, yeah.
If you wanted
Let's see what's behind those eyes.
Right. That's what the whole motivation was.
Absolutely. You thought it was a song about peace and sort of a connection through to Jesus and being a carpenter and ringing a bell and all this stuff. But
Well, what was the other song besides If I Had a Hammer?
It was,
Wet Ass Pee?
Wet Ass Pee.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay, yeah, because we do have that.
Oh, we do have that.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, I need a hard hit. I need a deep stroke. I need a Henny drink. I need a weed smoke. Not a garden snake. I need a king cobra with a hook in it. Hope it lean over. He got some money, then that's where I'm headed. Day one, just like his credit. He got a beard when I'm trying to wet it. I let him piss now.
What
he diabetic. I don't want
to... What if you go to have, like, you figure, okay, they're putting out this image, and you get into a bedroom situation with Cardi B, and she goes, turn off the lights.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
Turn off the lights.
I'm in there.
You know, all this, I want a snake, I want to, you know.
I thought we were going to play more of the Cardi B.
We've actually moved on to the actual Trini Hammer.
All right, so here we go. Okay. This is Trini Lopez. Great song.
It is great. And he also did Lemon Tree.
Yeah, that's the other one we have.
And we have that.
Lemon tree, very pretty. And the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
I don't remember this song. I guess it was a big hit for
They used it as a Lemon Pledge commercial. Do you remember?
A girl so sweet that when she smiles.
He also did a cover of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
That's the summer lost in love beneath the lemon tree.
So who knew that he was that important to the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl. So it's every single album they've ever made had the Trini Lopez signature guitar. Huh. Pretty amazing. Wow.
That is cool.
One last thing. Sting is currently working on his first album of original songs since the 2016 release of his top 10 hit, 57th and 9th.
I'm a good friend, Stink.
Not Stink. Sting. Sorry, Tony.
He just sent me a birthday wish. It was so wonderful.
During an interview recently, Sting shed light on his current process, explaining it will hopefully be a new album. At the moment, I call it Preparing Canvases. In other words, I'm getting music into the form of songs. And at a later stage, it will present itself as a record or a theme. It's in the very early stages at the moment.
Have you purchased any Sting music or recent stuff?
Not since the 80s. No, Dream of the Blue Turtle.
And he's put out good stuff, but I don't get exposed to it. It doesn't get, you know.
Yeah, Sting's at that level in his career.
Here in Starbucks.
Which a lot of people in the music industry eventually reach where they know they're not going to have chart-topping records anymore, but they still have an audience that will buy that music and listen to it. You know?
Yeah, he'll go on tour and bring his son out and then just let his son play for like 20 minutes.
Really?
In the middle of the set.
And Sting just kind of disappears?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nah, I don't think I would care for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how he's getting his son out there and people are enjoying the music.
Can't do that.
So. Yeah, but do it before Sting goes on.
Oh, man. It's like...
I bring out my son to my concert. He's 71 years old.
You're hijacking people's time with that, and I don't like that.
It's like a lab experience. People do not sign up for that.
You know what? Like,
unless you advertise the show as Sting and Son.
Right.
So sometimes at church, they would have
The CD people?
They would with the CD people, but sometimes at church, they would have somebody come and speak, but they would do it in the middle of the mass. And I was like, no.
Would it be
you
Sting?
Do this person after communion, like in the announcement gives me the opportunity to leave. But they would have these people come in and
everyone, I'm an exciting guest speaker today. It's Sting from the Police.
Well, what they
tell us about the aluminum drive that ran.
It was like they, somebody from a mission, you know, who's there.
Oh, yeah, to, I know. But they know everyone's going to bolt if they put them at the end of the service.
Yeah, but you're hijacking my time. This is not part of the mass.
Hey, Padre!
Yeah.
What is this crap?
You're not supposed to leave before it's all over, though.
Well, you Yeah.
I know you're
I'm sorry. You're one of the riffraff.
I'm a riffraffer.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in with your cigarettes.
Yeah. All right. And that's all I have in music news for you. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. It's really awesome, by the way, and it is a car load. Ooh. Four people all together to see our friend Bert Kreischer this Sunday, Citizens Bank Park.
Very cool.
Live-in, drive-in, that event, so don't miss it. You only need three letters. Very simple to win this week. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, gang. Obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for President Steve Blood Drive is a go. But it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be three donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
It is good to be back. It's nice to be doing this again.
And since we kind of had just so-so time.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot to do, to be honest. Yeah. So it's nice to get back into the swing of things. Kathy and Nick returning on Monday, but thank you to Marissa Magnata.
Yeah!
Being here inside the studio while we do our thing. And also want to take a moment to thank Mr. Joe List, our guest today, for being on the program. Joe has a comedy special called Joe List, I Hate Myself, which is now available on Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube channel. And you can go to youtube.com/stand-up to find that. And thanks to, it was nice to talk to Mike and Alex over at Fox 29 as well. Always checking with them on Wednesday morning. So it was all good. Pierre Robert.
To see you kids is like springtime in the wintertime.
It's springtime in the wintertime.
That's it.
It's like Christmas in July.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, thank you.
Great to see
Likewise.
You. Likewise. So you had just blew my mind in music news. You spoke of Dave Grohl referring to Trini Lopez.
Yeah.
Now, Trini Lopez, I didn't know he had died, so I was sad to hear that. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and kind of like people here have houses at the shore, the Lake Tahoe to people in San Francisco area is kind of what the shore is to people in Philly, except it has two seasons. So it's kind of like the shore in the Poconos because you can ski in the winter, you can go to the beach and go water skiing in the summer. And so my family had a little resort, a little motel we ran, and we would spend every summer at Lake Tahoe running this little resort. So and it was about 2 miles down the road from the Cal Neva, which was Frank Sinatra's legendary casino that he owned for only 3 years before the Nevada Gaming Commission caught him doing business with Sam Giancana, the noted mobster.
Yeah, that was a problem.
And sneaking Marilyn in and other such things that he would do. But he saw Trini Lopez, Frank Sinatra saw Trini Lopez playing at a little club in Los Angeles called PJ's. And he just put out an album live at PJ's with I Had a Hammer on it and America, I Like to Be in America, okay for me in America, and La Bamba. He didn't write any of his own songs, but they were all, you know, he would cover other people. I think it was Peter, Paul, and Mary that did.
Right, we were talking about that.
So we're out at we're having dinner outside, and my sisters looked over and said, look at that guy in Beatles boots. And with the slick back hair and the tight pants. And it was Trini Lopez walking in and with his manager. And it was like June. And the manager said, I'm looking to rent a room for the summer for this singer. And so my mother said, yeah, we've got a room. And He stayed with us the entire summer of 1962.
Did you get to spend any time with him?
Yeah, we taught him how to water ski.
Wow.
We are.
That should be your next T-shirt. I taught Trini Lopez how to water ski.
Well, my sisters did. We had a boat. We had a little place on the beach, and we didn't have the big thing for motels. Then was you got to have a swimming pool and TV. We had no swimming pool and no TV because we were right on the lake. You didn't need it,
right?
So people would stay with us, and they wouldn't miss it if they had kids. Trini had would stay with us. He often didn't have enough money to pay the rent, and my mother would just let him slide. We didn't invite him over, you know, when he'd have a night off, because he'd do two or three shows a night. And Sinatra had him in. There was a big celebrity room that Frank had designed with this giant stage that would go down and become even with the floor, so the performer could walk amongst the people, then get back on the thing and get back up. And then Sinatra had a tunnel that would take him to his own private residence, so he wouldn't have to talk with anyone when he'd leave the stage. But he had a small cabaret room, and Trini was playing the cabaret room all summer long in the summer of 62. So he wouldn't get up until like 3 o'clock, and he'd be out. And I remember him having a tan on his stomach because he would never lay on his stomach to get his tan on his back. So he was only tanned on his stomach. Why do I remember this? And so, and we taught him how to water ski, and all the kids would go by, and he'd be sitting out like reading a book on the lawn. We go, Trini, come on, sing If I Had a Hammer. Come on, Trini. And he go, If I Had a Hammer, beat it.
And so was this as his career was getting started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then within 2 years, he hit his peak, and he came back 2 or 3 years later and played the big room for several nights and filled it, and then was playing large rooms. And, you know, I joined the Trini Lopez fan club, you know, and he would always invite us backstage whenever we would be anywhere near.
Oh, that's cool.
To the thing. And so it was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And did you know this connection with Dave Grohl?
I had no blanking idea that of all people, Dave Grohl would attribute, you know, anything to Trini Lopez.
Yeah.
So cool.
What a great story, Pierre.
I'm going to play If I Had a Hammer today.
Excellent.
I got to do that.
Excellent. I love it. All right. Well, do you mind if we get a letter out of
it? I don't.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Z as in zebra.
All right. And you only have 3 letters to keep track of this week. We are giving away a ticket for you and 3 friends to see Bert Kreischer, presented by the Preston and Steve Show on Sunday. This Sunday, part of the Live In Drive In concert series at Citizens Bank Park in the lot. And each ticket is good for 1 car and a maximum of 4 people per car. And you can enjoy the show from the comfort of your own vehicle. The show is sold out. Go to WMMR.com for more drive in concerts and the do's and don'ts for the series, by the way. What's up on your show today, man?
Well, first of all, speaking of the Live-In Drive-In, we got a call yesterday from Luke Spiller at noon, and we announced that the Struts date has changed from next Saturday to next Tuesday. So it'll be next Tuesday night, the 18th, instead. Oh. All tickets will be honored from the Saturday show, and some still remain. And our conversation with Luke is now up at WMMR.com. Thursday at 2 o'clock, I will speak with Gina of the Go-Go's, Gina Schock, the drummer of the Go-Go's.
I watched that documentary. I did too. Freaking loved it.
Wasn't it great?
It's great. And there's and as Bill Weston pointed out, MMR figures prominently in a lot of the footage that they use from a particular performance, and they're giving credit. But man, oh man, is it a good documentary.
I mean, I had no idea. When they came by here in the early 80s, and they were cute and bubbly and all the things you attributed them to, you know, and then you learn that some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, that they had, you know, that they had huge drug problems and all kinds of inner band conflicts, as many bands do. And a fascinating story.
Well, and I didn't know they started on the punk scene, that they were at that famous Sex Pistols show in New York. And I was actually hoping you guys would have some more stories to piece it together, because it feels like they started to, like, touch a little bit on, like, just crazy sexual nights and
there's
all
a
that,
whole bunch.
And they just kind of, like, stopped real quick.
Well, they did some, I mean, there's footage of them, you know, with roadies and stuff like that, and candles and butts and stuff like that. They were
frolicking.
They would tear it up. But, I mean, but Jane Whelan says right in the beginning, we want to be punk rockers, but we didn't know how to play any instruments.
You're right. So,
and as Belinda Carlisle points out, she goes, but for punk, it didn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, so
it's
good.
A great story. And at the end, we uncovered from the vaults of the MM archives. I mean, the station broadcast so many things and taped so many things and lost so many things.
Yeah.
We recovered a show from Emerald City, which had been the Latin Casino and then was torn down. And that's where Subaru was located for many years, in that site. And it was Emerald City for a couple of years, a rock show. And MMR broadcast the Go-Go's live from there in 1981. And I referenced that show with Gina, and she completely remembers it. And if you look at the documentary at the end where they do the song credits, there are no less than seven times, courtesy of WMMR FM.
Yeah.
At the very end, if you freeze, I mean, frame after frame, I go, oh, that's cool. There's one mention. Oh, my God. Two more on that one. Three more over there. It's like seven mentions of MMR.
It's cool.
So Gina is tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Excellent.
Today on the Workforce Blocks, we've got Dire Straits. We've got the Black Keys. We've got the Beach Boys. And If I Had a Hammer by Trini Lopez.
Wow. What a program.
Action-packed.
Love it, love it. All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Hers, the official chip of making the most of your summer. And finally brought to you by the Pickalillion.
Pickalillion.
You can enjoy their world-famous wings for outdoor dining or curbside pickup, and you can do that tonight. Tomorrow on the program, we're working on it. Give us a break. We just got back from vacation. We'll have a damn good time, I guarantee you. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
All right, let's get this straight once and for all. Yes, I'm the mom, and you have to do what I say because I am the mom. And if you don't like it, go talk to your father.
Next message.
Big dogs running. Big dogs out.
Next message.
There's many battles going on in the world today, but the main battle is Android versus iPhone. F*** iPhone!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.